KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at kcnr1460.com. Join Sue McClain weekday mornings from 6 to 7 for the Sue McClain News Hour, where you'll hear the up-to-the-minute local news, national and international news, weather, sports, and a whole lot more. Followed by Free Fire Radio from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. with Carl and Linda Bach. From 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, equal opportunity critics. From noon to 3, learn how to get out of debt with Dave Ramsey. From 3 to 6, don't miss constitutional expert Mark Levin. Monday through Thursday night, starting at 6 p.m., we have local shows featuring everything from the paranormal, local history, North State Now, and unsung heroes of our area. From 7 to 9, tune in to Ben Shapiro, your local downtown radio station, KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at kcnr1460.com.
Hiring? You need ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter's powerful technology finds qualified candidates for you and invites them to apply. Try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/hire.
Hey, and welcome. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. The Ben Shapiro Show is sponsored by ExpressVPN. I talk about them every single show. Why haven't you gotten a VPN yet? Get ExpressVPN right now at expressvpn.com/Ben Shapiro. Every time a historic figure in the West passes away, it seems like it's a chance for a lot of people to dance on that person's grave, not particularly because they hate that person, but because they don't like the West very much. That is the only reason I can cite for why there are so many people on blue-checked Twitter, so many big thinkers out there, are using Queen Elizabeth II's death as an opportunity to talk about the evils of the British Empire, to talk about the evils of England, to talk about the evils of Western civilization. And the reality is that when a historic figure like Elizabeth II passes away, it reminds us all that there are some pretty stellar things about Western civilization. It reminds us that the link in the chain that we represent in history, are we going to pass on important eternal values to our children, or are we going to let those things fade away? Are we going to let those things be ripped apart by forces that don't like the things that make the West unique? The thing that made Elizabeth II a unique figure in world history is not only her tenure. I mean, she presided over the British Empire for 70 years in symbolic fashion, right? Because that was her job. She didn't actually have political power. She was a person who was expected to be a symbol of British unity, which meant really a symbol of Western civilization. The fact that she presided over the dissolution of the British Empire, the fact that she presided over all of these radical changes that happened in British society, but always held fast to certain principles, both religious and secular, that characterized British society, her death is going to leave a lasting imprint on Britain. Because now we've moved into a new era in the West in which you are not expected to perform your duty, in which you are not expected to represent, say, Judeo-Christian values to your nation, in which the symbolism of having a person who unites the realm, that sort of thing is seen as passé. Instead, we are just an agglomeration of various folks who have been sort of thrust together by the vicissitudes of history. Queen Elizabeth II represented a rebuttal to that. That's what her life was about. Her life was about assuming the crown at the grand old age of 25 when her father passed away prematurely. She already had several children at the time, and she stepped up, and her life was really about duty. In 1947, when she was 21, she made a public radio statement dedicating herself to the realm. This is in her birthday address at the age of 21. I'd like you to imagine a 21-year-old today in any Western country making this sort of move. 21-year-olds in America today, to take an example, are some of the most immature human beings who have ever walked the planet. They're not even expected to be as mature as, in many cases, 15 or 16-year-olds, 21-year-olds. This is when you are supposed to be living out your truth. You're not supposed to be assuming duty. It's a reminder of a time in Western civilization when 21-year-olds were expected to actually be adults, to watch then-Princess Elizabeth dedicating herself and her life to the English people.
I can make my solemn act of dedication with the whole empire listening. I should like to make that dedication now. It is very simple. I declare before you all that my whole life, whether it be long or short, shall be devoted to your service and to the service of our great imperial family to which we all belong. But I shall not have strength to carry out this resolution alone unless you join in it with me, as I now invite you to do. I know that your support will be unfailingly given. God help me to make good my vow. And God bless all of you who are willing to share in it.
This is in the immediate aftermath of World War II, obviously. It also happened to be in the quasi-immediate aftermath of the complete abdication of the crown by the older brother of her father, right? Her father was the younger son of King George V. His older brother, the queen's uncle, was actually supposed to be the king, but you recall your British history. In 1936, Edward abdicated to marry a divorcee who happened to be kind of a Nazi sympathizer named Wallace Simpson. His abdication after less than a year, according to the UK Sun, elevated Prince Albert to King George VI. 10-year-old Elizabeth was now heir to the throne. So she was only 21 years old when she made this statement. This was after, by the way, during World War II, she actually drove ambulances on behalf of the British military. There's a pretty funny story much later in her life. Apparently, a Saudi king visited Great Britain, and she arrived in, he got in a car to be driven around, and she was behind the wheel, and she was making a statement that women can drive, because in Saudi Arabia, women were not and still are not allowed to drive. And she then proceeded to take him on, apparently, an extremely exciting car tour where she was driving at high rates of speed just to freak out the Saudi monarch and demonstrate that women actually were capable of driving. We'll get to more of this in just a moment, but first a word from our partners at Noble Gold.
NobleGoldInvestments.com. Inflation is real, and the rate only seems to be going upwards. Soon, $1 million in your retirement account won't even last as long as you need it. Look, you need to store the value of your money, and you need to do it fast. The solution is NobleGoldInvestments.com. A precious metals IRA acts like a shield for inflation. Noble Gold specializes in storing the value of your wealth through gold IRAs, so they're truly a natural choice for your retirement portfolio. Act now, and with any qualified purchase, mention the word silver, and you'll get a 3-ounce silver American Virtue coin. You heard right. Just mention the word silver, and you'll get a 3-ounce silver American Virtue coin. Don't let inflation affect you or your retirement one more day. Visit NobleGoldInvestments.com today. That's NobleGoldInvestments.com. Investment involves risk. Past performance is no guarantee of future results.
Well, she was coronated in 1953 in Westminster Abbey. It was obviously a historic moment because she would then proceed to guide the realm, at least in symbolic fashion, all the way from 1953 to 2022, which makes her the longest-serving British monarch in the history of the empire. So here was a little bit of the coronation. You see the film. For those who can't see, that there's that crown. That crown weighs just an enormous amount, being placed on her head. According to the UK Sun, the Queen spent her first 10 years in charge overhauling the stuffy, unapproachable image of the royals that Brits were used to, transforming them into a more modern and relatable family. She also had to deal with the fact that her sister, Margaret, was a rather difficult person. She televised her annual Christmas broadcast for the first time in 1957. That is an annual tradition that is now watched by millions of people. And she obviously became an incredibly popular monarch. She was very sympathetic. She got married in 1947, the same year that she made that address talking about how she was dedicating herself to the realm. And there's all sorts of wonderful film of her, the Silver Jubilee, in 1977, in which she gave a bit of a speech to the British people.
In the same golden fairy tale coach that carried her to the coronation in June 1953, Her Majesty and Prince Philip, to the thunderous cheers of hundreds of thousands of her subjects lining the roof. She goes on a walkabout among her people. The simple but heartfelt.
If you fast forward all the way to 1991, Elizabeth was really the glue that held the royal family together, because obviously her kids were very, very difficult. Prince Charles, who is now King Charles III, he obviously had an extraordinarily fraught relationship with Princess Diana and with the new queen consort, Camilla. He had been in love with Camilla. Camilla was now married to a different man. He ended up marrying Princess Diana when he was 31. Diana, I believe, was 19 years old. And then they had just a very difficult relationship. Diana was apparently cheating on him. He was cheating on her. It was a complete mess. Princess Diana went into the public eye with the problems in her marriage, which was considered really not what royals do. Again, if you're a person like Elizabeth II and you're defined by your duty to your country, the idea of spilling all of your dirty marital secrets, which actually have national implications in public to people like Martin Bashir, is something that you are not very much in favor of. Again, she was an emissary from a time when people were expected to keep their marital problems in-house rather than blasting those out on the front pages of the Daily Mail. In any case, in 1991, here was Queen Elizabeth II speaking before Congress.
I know what a rare privilege it is to address a joint meeting of your two houses. Thank you for inviting me. The concept, so simply described by Abraham Lincoln, as government by the people, of the people, for the people, is fundamental to our two nations. Your Congress and our Parliament are the twin pillars of our civilizations and the chief among the many treasures that we have inherited from our predecessors.
Okay, so that right there, by the way, we should just keep that in mind, what she says right there, because that is the reason why so many people are deeply upset about, you know, the reaction to Princess, to Queen Elizabeth II's death. There are a bunch of people on the left who hate Queen Elizabeth because of that. Because of that. Because of the idea that there's an Anglo-American tradition of parliamentary rule and democracy, and these things are bad. And we're going to get to the left's reaction to her death, because it really is quite astonishing that this historic human being dies, and the first reaction of a lot of people is, well, the British Empire was bad, and colonialism was bad, and democracy and free trade, apparently, were bad. Like, these things, historically speaking, came as a package. That does not dim the evils of colonialism. It does not mean that imperialism is a good thing. But as we'll discuss in just a second, trying to pretend that the legacy of the British Empire or of Queen Elizabeth II is somehow an evil, just overall it's bad and evil, because I guess Western civilization is bad, that is a fool's errand. As we were talking about with regards to sort of the internal family struggles in 1992, that was the big year, right? So the year after this address to Congress, that is when the marriage between Diana and Prince Charles started to break up. That is the same time that there's a biography on Diana that talked about how Diana had sort of been abandoned by the royal family. Now, the truth is that Diana was, again, not a super easy person. Diana was, she came into the royal family under kind of dim circumstances, given the fact that Charles had originally dated her older sister. She had come in, she was considered the people's princess, but then she also, you know, was not a particularly stable figure. In any case, when Princess Diana was killed in the car crash in 1997, that sort of historic moment, there was a lot of anger at the royal family because it seemed like they weren't in proper levels of mourning. She was already divorced from Prince Charles by this time, of course. And the Queen had to make a public statement about the death of Princess Diana. Here's a little bit of that.
Since last Sunday's dreadful news, we have seen throughout Britain and around the world an overwhelming expression of sadness at Diana's death. So what I say to you now, as your queen and as a grandmother, I say from my heart. First, I want to pay tribute to Diana myself. She was an exceptional and gifted human being. In good times and bad, she never lost her capacity to smile and laugh, nor to inspire others with her warmth and kindness. I admired and respected her for her energy and commitment to others. I hope
okay, so again, this is sort of Elizabeth II's role, is that whenever there was a problem, it was her job to sort of patch everything back together. A little bit more on this in a moment, but first a word from our sponsor.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along, which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/hire. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So, while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And now you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. At ZipRecruiter.com/hire. That's ZipRecruiter.com/hire. ZipRecruiter.com/hire.
Alrighty, coming up, we are reviewing Queen Elizabeth II's long and storied life. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Years ago, Simpson University began with a promise to be the gateway to world service. 30 years ago, we moved to Reading with the promise to serve the interstate, graduating professionals who live and serve our growing community. Building on our foundational promise to educate ministers and missionaries, Simpson University now offers over 20 degree programs. Learn more about Reading's hometown university at simpsonu.edu.
When people ask me for a recommendation for a heating or air conditioning company, I always say Alliance Heating and Air. Why? Well, they've been taking care of our HVAC system for 14 years. Professional, friendly, and willing to go to the extra step for their customers. I have found no problem too difficult or too minor for them to repair. I recommend Alliance Heating and Air with no reservations. You can reach them at 530-221-2642 or online at homecomfort.org. And they have 24/7 emergency assistance. Alliance Heating and Air.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Do you have a crazy schedule and can't seem to get to a class to qualify for your CCW, CCW renewal, or maybe learn to use that new firearm you just purchased? Consider a private class with NFI. Learn to shoot a handgun, rifle, shotgun, or even a BB gun. Classes are taught by an instructor that you choose on your dates and location. Give NFI a call at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and I'll see you at the range.
Hi, this is Mark from Haven Humane Society. It has been a challenging couple of years, and through it all, our amazing team has continued to save lives. We have so many fantastic animals that are looking for their forever homes, and with adoption fees so low, now is the time to add to your family. With puppies, kittens, dogs, cats, and so many more, we have the perfect addition. Come join our team as a volunteer and help in an area that works for you. Walking dogs, socializing cats, helping in our veterinary hospital, or folding laundry. We have many opportunities and welcome all volunteers. For more information, please visit our website at havenhumane.org or follow us on Facebook. On behalf of the entire Haven team, thank you for all of your continued support as together we get closer every day to North State with no more homeless pets.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the movie stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
Veterans, did you know that Shasta County Veterans Service Office is open to all veterans who have served our nation? Whether a combat veteran or a member of the reserves with limited active duty time, you have earned benefits. If you have any military benefit or veteran-related questions, call 530-225-5616 or stop by Shasta County Veterans Service Office at 1855 Shasta Street, Redding, California. This message is brought to you by Korean War veteran Senator Maurice Johannesson, former Secretary, California Veterans Affairs.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So we are going through all of the accomplishments of Queen Elizabeth II. One of her biggest accomplishments was attempting to reunify the UK after all of the chaos in Ireland. She famously in 2011 visited Ireland. The Ireland Independent today has a good piece about this. It says that she will long be remembered for wowing the entire Irish nation with a simple head bow at the Garden of Remembrance in May 2011 to heroes who died fighting her country's army. That moment of symbolism was enhanced by some superbly well-chosen words later at Dublin Castle. And then, of course, she gave a speech in the middle of COVID that was, I think, really comforting to a huge number of people across the world, not just in Great Britain, in the middle of a time of global turmoil. Here was the Queen of England talking about COVID and its impact on her country.
I'm speaking to you at what I know is an increasingly challenging time, a time of disruption in the life of our country, a disruption that has brought grief to some, financial difficulties to many, and enormous changes to the daily lives of us all. I hope in the years to come, everyone will be able to take pride in how they responded to this challenge. And those who come after us will say the Britons of this generation were as strong as any, that the attributes of self-discipline, of quiet, good-humoured resolve, and of fellow feeling still characterise this country. The pride in who we are is not a part of our past. It defines our present and our future. We should take comfort.
Okay, so I mean, it was those sorts of values that she represented, right? The sort of quiet, solid belief in eternal values over the course of time. The sort of British stiff upper lip, the idea that you can take on challenge, right? All those things are what she symbolized. The backlash to her death materialized immediately. I mean, not people who were anti-her dying, people who were very pro-her dying, as it turns out, which is just insane. I'm sorry, that is an extraordinary response to the death of a woman who literally had a symbolic role, and that symbolic role involved things like telling people to buck up under pressure, to understand their heritage, to believe in the values of democracy. So it came in a couple forms. One was the, okay, well, she's a queen, who cares? Whatever. You know, we're American, we fought the crown just so we wouldn't have to care about stuff like this. Okay, I get it. The reality is that the monarchy of Britain right now is not anything remotely resembling the monarchy of Britain in the time of King George III. She had no political power. And this is something people ought to remind themselves, is that when they're yelling at Queen Elizabeth II, they're yelling at a person whose role is entirely symbolic. She had no political power in Britain. The United States fought King George III and Parliament in order to be free of the political power of King George III. But the truth is that apparently people have a need for royalty. In the United States, we've supplanted the idea of a symbolic leader who is like Queen Elizabeth II. We've supplanted that with a celebrity culture that is filled with babbling idiots who repeat whatever lines are put in front of them and apparently take their cultural cues and political cues from other television writers. And those are our royalty. Over here, our royalty is like Kim Kardashian and Jennifer Lawrence. Over in Britain, the royalty was, you know, Queen Elizabeth II. That's sort of a difference in kind. The human desire to look to symbolic leadership, it's still there. It doesn't disappear just because you get rid of the monarchy. The danger in the United States is when you actually start to identify the symbolic leadership with actual political power. That's how you end up with dictators. That's scary stuff. Again, her role was more like that of the American flag almost than it was like that of a political leader like a Joe Biden or a Donald Trump or something like that. So that was form number one that the backlash to her took, which is, she's the queen. Who cares? The other form that the backlash to her took was the British Empire was bad. And she was bad because the British Empire was bad. Understand that the folks who are saying this are people who are generally historically ignorant or people who fail the easy test of understanding context, people who seem to believe that the evils of the West are unique, but that its goods are universal, which is precisely the opposite of the truth. The opposite of the truth is that the evils that the British Empire visited upon the world, which were not insignificant, they're very real to literally millions of human beings, were accompanied by goods that were extraordinarily unique to billions of people around the world. And that those evils that the British Empire visited upon people were certainly not unique to the British Empire. They are unique human those are universal human evils that exist in the human heart. Pretending that the Brits were the only people who were attempting to expand empire at the time of the British Empire is idiotic. It's historically ignorant. The Dutch Empire existed at the exact same time. The Spanish Empire existed at the exact same time. The French Empire existed at the exact same time. There were colonial attempts within Africa. There were colonial attempts from China. There are colonial attempts all over the world. The question is, what distinguished the British Empire from, say, the Russian Empire? What distinguished the British Empire from the other empires on Earth that were competing with the British Empire? And there, you have to say that the overwhelming legacy of the British Empire is good. And I know these are difficult words for people to hear. This does not mean that colonialism overall is a good. It does not mean there are no costs to colonialism. It does not mean that countries should seek colonies. It does not mean it was a good thing for Great Britain to have started implanting forms of government and that were in many cases discriminatory and terrible in places like Africa. It does mean that if you're going to rip on the British Empire wholeheartedly, then you at least ought to acknowledge some of the benefits of the British Empire. The things that I'm always just amused to watch people who are living off the legacy of Western institutions like the British Crown, then turn around and say, well, they're universally terrible. That's not the way this goes. So, for example, there's a professor named Uju Anya who tweeted out, I heard the chief monarch of a thieving, raping, genocidal empire is finally dying. May her pain be excruciating. Which is just a delightful sentiment. This person's tweet was deleted by Twitter, which shouldn't have happened, by the way. Twitter shouldn't be deleting tweets. In fact, I think it's good that people leave tweets like that up so we can all stare agog at their stupidity. This person is a professor at Carnegie Mellon University. Quote, that wretched woman and her bloodthirsty throne have effed generations of my ancestors on both sides of the family. She supervised the government that sponsored the genocide. My parents and siblings survived. May she die in agony. And she said, F you and your deference to genocidal colonizers. Really, really nice stuff there. Carnegie Mellon sent out a statement saying, we do not condone the offensive and objectionable messages posted by Uju Anya today on her personal social media account. Free expression is core to the mission of higher education. The views she shared absolutely do not represent the values of the institution or the standards of discourse we seek to foster. I mean, honestly, back your lady. You're the ones who hired her. Now, those sentiments are worth discussing for a second. Again, this deep-seated hatred for Queen Elizabeth II, which is really deep-seated hatred for the British Empire. Alrighty, coming up, we are still going through Queen Elizabeth II's life. Plus, I want to get to the less hatred for Queen Elizabeth II, which is kind of shocking. It's the Ben Shapiro Show.
The YMCA is welcoming new members to come and enjoy the many choices the YMCA has to offer. The YMCA has a variety of fitness activities, including swimming, aqua aerobics, cardio, weights, group power classes, and booty yoga. There's over 100 classes to choose from. The YMCA is so much more than a gym. The Y is a community. Join the YMCA. 246-YMCA. Or go online to sfymca.org.
Aloha, this is Kevin, operations manager at Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. A professionally cleaned business sends a message to your paying customers. It says you are a company that cares about your image and always presenting the very best impression. Time after time, I've talked to clients who shopped for the lowest price and after a few months realized that their professional image was suffering. They didn't know who was actually coming into their offices to do the cleaning, and they just weren't getting the value they were paying for. Be wary of big-name companies that take your money, then hire unknown contractors to do the work. Since 1987, Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, your local professionals, have been offering the best in office cleaning by our screened, bonded, and insured staff. Take pride in your business and say aloha to your customers with the professional cleaning services from Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. Call 221-5868, 221-5868, MauiBob'sOfficeCleaning.com.
Are you new to crypto? It can leave you feeling unsure of what to do. Help is available. From getting started to securing your cryptos, you don't need to go it alone. Bitcoin 530 will take you by the hand to help you move forward with your crypto journey. Schedule a free consultation with Bitcoin 530 at bitcoin530.io or give them a call at 530-324-5175. That's bitcoin530.io.
How's school, son?
Okay.
Just okay?
Yeah, Mom. I'm the smartest kid in the world. Now, can I borrow the car keys?
What happened?
There was some drama in the parking lot. Someone backed into my buddy's car. I'm meeting him at Mako.
Mako Collision Repair and Auto Painting Center at 3045 Crossroads Drive. Now, did you call ahead and make an appointment at 530-226-0992?
Yep.
You are my smartest child.
Mom, I'm your only child.
Uh-oh. Better call Mako. Mako Collision Repair and Auto Painting Center at 3045 Crossroads Drive. Call for your free estimate at 530-226-0992.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Commons Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide three delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
Hey, it's time for the Iron Soldier Ride again. I'm Rob Burrows from Homeward Bound Military Family Support Services. The Iron Soldier Ride is Sunday, October 2nd. This tradition, started by Redding Yamaha Sea-Doo, is proudly carried on by California Custom Trailers, Power Sports, and Marine on Twinview Boulevard in Redding. To be a sponsor of this fun event, call 530-275-7300. Riders, registration is in the store only. All motorcycles are welcome. $40 registration in advance. 45 day of, you get t-shirt guaranteed on the day of the event, plus scenic ride, swag, lunch, games, and prizes. Register in person today. Learn more about the registration or sponsorship at 530-275-7300. All proceeds provide holiday meals for military families and post 9/11 veterans in need, as well as care packages for our troops. Sign up today at California Custom, 1936 Twinview Boulevard. Call today, 530-275-7300. 275-7300.
9.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So Queen Elizabeth II has died. We are going through her life and her legacy. There's a piece in the New York Times that makes sort of the same point. There's a person named Maya Jasanoff, a professor of history at Harvard. She has a piece titled Mourn the Queen, Not Her Empire. And here's what she says. Quote, the end of an era will become a refrain as commentators assess the record-setting reign of Queen Elizabeth II. Like all monarchs, she was both an individual and an institution. She had a different birthday for each role, the actual anniversary of her birth in April, plus an official one in June. And though she retained her personal name as monarch, held different titles depending on where in her domains she stood. She was as devoid of opinions and emotions in public as her ubiquitous handbags were said to be of everyday items like a wallet, keys, and phone. Of her inner life, we learned little beyond her love of horses and dogs. Well, maybe that's because she actually fulfilled her duty. Her personal life was simply secondary. The Queen embodied a profound, sincere commitment to her duties. Her final public act was to appoint her 15th prime minister. That's an amazing tenure, by the way. The first prime minister she appointed was Winston Churchill. And for her unflagging performance of them, she'll be rightly mourned. She has been a fixture of stability, and her death in already turbulent times will send ripples of sadness around the world. But we should not romanticize her era. For the Queen was also an image, the face of a nation that during the course of her reign witnessed the dissolution of nearly the entire British Empire into some 50 independent states and significantly reduced global influence. By design, as much as by accident of her long life, her presence as head of state and head of the Commonwealth and association of Britain and its former colonies put a solid traditionalist front over decades of violent upheaval. As such, the Queen helped obscure a bloody history of decolonization whose proportions and legacies have yet to be adequately acknowledged. And so you blame her for colonization, you also blame her for decolonization. This columnist says Elizabeth became queen of a post-war Britain where sugar was still rationed and rubble from bomb damage still being cleared away. Journalists and commentators promptly cast the 25-year-old as a phoenix rising into a new Elizabethan age. An inevitable analogy, perhaps an appointed one, the first Elizabethan age in the second half of the 16th century marked England's emergence from a second-tier European state to an ambitious overseas power. Elizabeth II grew up in a royal family whose significance in the British Empire had swollen even as its political authority shrank at home. The monarchy ruled an ever-lengthening list of crown colonies, including Hong Kong, India, and Jamaica. By the way, how's Hong Kong doing now that Britain is no longer involved? Has that been a real boon for the people of Hong Kong? I haven't seen it. Queen Victoria, proclaimed Empress of India in 1876, presided over flamboyant celebrations of imperial patriotism. Her birthday was enshrined from 1902 as Empire Day. In 1947, then, Princess Elizabeth celebrated her 21st birthday on a royal tour in South Africa. That's that speech that we quoted earlier. She was on tour in Kenya when she learned of her father's death. She presided again over a very long period of time. But the idea here from this columnist is that the British Empire was almost an unalloyed bad. She says, what you never know from the pictures is the violence that lies behind them. In 1948, the colonial governor of Malaya declared a state of emergency to fight communist guerrillas, and British troops used counterinsurgency tactics the Americans would emulate in Vietnam. Well, yeah, it turns out the communist guerrillas are bad. In 1952, the governor of Kenya imposed a state of emergency to suppress an anti-colonial movement known as Mau Mau, under which the British rounded up tens of thousands of Kenyans into detention camps and subjected them to brutal systematized torture. The Mau Mau revolution was quite a bad thing. That does not justify human rights violations, but can we not pretend that the people the British were fighting were just wonderful, liberty-minded folks? In Cyprus in 1955 and aid in Yemen in 1963, British governors again declared states of emergency to contend with anti-colonial attacks. Again, they tortured civilians. Again, you can't pretend that colonialism was an unalloyed good, but stop pretending that the British Empire was an unalloyed bad. The only reason why there are so many people on the left who are apparently sanguine about the death of Queen Elizabeth II is because this is the way they see the civilization. And this is what Jemele Hill, who can be counted on for any form of foolishness, she tweeted out yesterday, quote, journalists are tasked with putting legacies into full context, so it's entirely appropriate to examine the Queen and her role in the devastating impact of continued colonialism. Continued. Like, as in today. Is it possible that maybe countries that were decolonized in the 1960s at a certain point should take credit for, you know, the way that they are being run right now? Meanwhile, Richard Stengel over on MSNBC was doing the same routine. He was talking about how we need to examine the failings of the British Empire, etc.
I have to say, to your earlier question, why are American news networks dedicating all of this time to Queen Elizabeth's funeral? I think it's a good question. I mean, I think it's something, there's a weakness in the American character that still yearns for that era of hereditary privilege, which is the very thing that we escaped from.
Oh, it's hereditary privilege that were, or alternatively, she was a person who stood, again, for things that many Westerners would like to see restored and emulated. And I don't mean colonialism. I mean the simple fact that you are supposed to brave struggles, that you have to look to Judeo-Christian values as your guide. She was a religious person, Queen Elizabeth II. He also added, by the way, you played a clip of her speaking in Cape Town in 1947. That's the year apartheid took effect. British colonialism, which she presided over, had a terrible effect on much of the world. Okay, this is the core argument. The core argument that's made by Richard Stengel, that British colonialism was, again, an unalloyed bad. Let's just be real about this. Without the British Empire, the idea of liberty does not exist. It was the British Empire that ended slavery in the Western Hemisphere. It was the British Empire that fought the transatlantic slave trade. Okay, that was not happening in Africa. There's still slave trading happening in Africa and the Middle East right now. It was the British Empire that actively put resources behind the ending of slavery. It was the British Empire that instituted democratic protocols in virtually all of its subject lands. It was the British Empire that spread the idea of political pluralism. It was the British Empire that spread the idea of capitalism and free markets. These things did not exist. And pretending, this was one of the questions that was asked, you know, sort of frivolously. You know, the movie Black Panther, which has come up because it's come up in the context of colonialism. Ah, this is what Africa would look like if there had been no colonialism. Would it, though? I mean, really, like, these are serious. That's a serious question. Like, there's this sort of countervailing history that the left likes to portray in which if Western people had never set, meaning like Europeans, had never set foot in other places on the globe, all the institutions of the West would just naturally have grown up there. Technology would have just appeared there. Like, extraordinary levels of political unity would have just happened. Is there a lot of evidence that this is the case? We'll get to more on this in just one second. First, using the internet without ExpressVPN, dumb idea. It's like leaving your laptop exposed at the coffee shop table while you run to the bathroom. Most of the time, probably fine. Then there's that one time that you come out and suddenly Merrick Garland is just sitting behind your keyboard. And you're like, what are you looking at? He's like, all your emails. You wouldn't do that at a coffee shop. So why exactly would you do that with your internet activity? Every time you connect to an unencrypted network at a cafe or a hotel or an airport, pretty much anybody on the same network can gain access to your personal data. And that data is really valuable. Hackers can make up to $1,000 per person selling your personal information on the dark web. So why use ExpressVPN? Well, it creates a secure encrypted tunnel between your device and the internet so hackers can't steal your sensitive data. Also, it's really easy to use. You fire up the app, you click one button, you're now protected, and it works on all your devices. We're talking phones, laptops, tablets, all of it. So you should use ExpressVPN because I do. Secure your online data today by visiting expressvpn.com/Ben Shapiro. That's ExpressVPN.com/Ben Shapiro. You can get an extra 3 months for free. ExpressVPN.com/Ben Shapiro. Secure your internet data today the same way that I do. ExpressVPN.com/Ben Shapiro. So historian Neil Ferguson, who I quoted earlier this week, he wrote an entire book about the British Empire in which he goes through all of the vicious brutalities of the British Empire. And again, there were many. The British Empire, as I say, was a mixed bag because everything in life is a mixed bag. But here's what Neil Ferguson points out. Quote, without the spread of British rule around the world, it's hard to believe the structures of liberal capitalism would have been so successfully established in so many different economies around the world. Those empires that adopted alternative models, again, this is the thing. You can look and see that the rest of the world exists. When people look at the British and the British Empire and British values, when they look at those in a vacuum, when you look at anything in a vacuum, it looks bad. This is true of individual human beings, as it is of countries, as it is of empires. When you look at anything in a vacuum, it looks bad because it has bad things in it. But all politics, all of life is comparative. So when you look at the British Empire, you also have to say, okay, what are the alternatives? The Ottoman Empire, was that a wonderful place? How about the Russian Empire? Was that really awesome? Is today's Chinese Empire really a great thing? Like, how's this, the German attempted empire multiple times. Was that wonderful? How about the Austro-Hungarian? Like, how were these empires going? Were they really that excellent? As Neil Ferguson says, those empires that adopted alternative models, the Russian and the Chinese, imposed incalculable misery on their subject peoples. Without the influence of British imperial rule, it's hard to believe that the institutions of parliamentary democracy would have been adopted by the majority of states in the world as they are today. India, the world's largest democracy, owes more than it is fashionable to acknowledge to British rule, which, by the way, is why the Indian government paid tribute to Elizabeth II. After her death, its elite schools, its universities, its civil service, its army, its press, and its parliamentary system all still have discernibly British models. Of course, no one would claim that the record of the British Empire was unblemished. On the contrary, says Neil Ferguson, I've tried to show how often it failed to live up to its own ideal of individual liberty, particularly in the early era of enslavement, transportation, and the ethnic cleansing of indigenous peoples. Yet the 19th century empire undeniably pioneered free trade, free capital movements, and, with the abolition of slavery, free labor. Invested immense sums in developing a global network of modern communications. It spread and enforced the rule of law over vast areas. Though it fought many small wars, the empire maintained a global peace unmatched before or since. In the 20th century, too, it more than justified its own existence, for the alternatives to British rule represented by the German and Japanese empires were clearly far worse. Without its empire, it is inconceivable Britain could have withstood them. But, you know, again, seeing politics in all of its shades of gray is something that people are simply incapable of doing. It's very difficult for folks to do that, to accept the bad along with the good. But even put all that aside, in the end, Elizabeth II was not a person responsible for either colonialism or decolonization. Elizabeth II was a symbolic figure, and it's precisely that symbol that people don't like. She was a symbol of a Western civilization that stands up for its own values and its own heritage, and that sees all the goods that it has produced over the course of time, and that celebrates those goods. That is what Elizabeth II represented. And so with her goes a chain in a link in that long chain of history. And what's taking over for it? I think a lot more drama. And I don't know what King Charles III is going to be like. According to the BBC, he'll be known as King Charles III. That was the first decision of the new king's reign. He could have chosen from any of his four names. He could have been Charles Philip Arthur or George. Prince William will not be automatically Prince of Wales. That will have to be conferred on him by his father. That, of course, is what is going to happen. William is going to be heir to the throne now. Apparently, Charles will be officially proclaimed king on Saturday. That's going to happen at St. James Palace in London. The king attends a second meeting of the Accession Council along with the Privy Council. It's not a swearing in at the start of a British monarch's reign in the style of some other heads of state like the president. Instead, there's a declaration made by the new king that he'll make an oath to preserve the Church of Scotland. And what is he actually going to be like as king? Nobody really knows. A lot of people have been dreading this because obviously Charles has led a rather interesting personal life. According to the Wall Street Journal, aides to King Charles, formerly Prince of Wales, have said the new monarch envisions a slimmed-down, lower-cost royal family that remains at the center of Britain's national life. To do that, he must unite his family, as the House of Windsor is grappling with strained relationships. Well, yeah, it's now Queen Elizabeth II, the reason people liked her is because she wasn't Meghan Markle. It's because she wasn't using the royal throne as a sort of prop in her own political ambitions or her own attempt to build some sort of public-facing image. His first task will be to lead a country in mourning as it comes to terms with the death of Queen Elizabeth. He's expected to address the nation on Friday and then later tour it. King Charles only has a 42% approval rating. Palisades said they expect his popularity to rise as the country grows accustomed to him in the role of king. He is the oldest person to ascend to the British throne because he is taking over well into his... How old is he at this point, King Charles III? He's 73, and he's taking over for his mom, which demonstrates how long his mom was the monarch. As prince, Charles was more than willing to use his status to push for change, particularly on issues related to the environment and climate. In the past, he's written to British government ministers to lobby on subjects ranging from the plight of the Patagonian toothfish to the dominance of big chain supermarkets. He's designed his own town and launched a brand of organic food. Officials say that King Charles will step back but not totally abandon those campaigning ways. He will be a convener king, said an aide, who added the king intends to use his contacts to bring people together to solve problems. Some say the prince was right to use his time waiting to become king to push for change. Some of his campaigns have proven farsighted, according to others, because, of course, he's been big in the green movement. But again, this is not really his job, right? His job is to be symbolically uniting the nation. Again, the West needs more symbols that unite and fewer sort of cheap political leaders who divide. We'll get to more of this in just a moment, but first a word from our partners at Noble Gold.
NobleGoldInvestments.com. Inflation is real, and the rate only seems to be going upwards. Soon, $1 million in your retirement account won't even last as long as you need it. Look, you need to store the value of your money, and you need to do it fast. The solution is NobleGoldInvestments.com. A precious metals IRA acts like a shield for inflation. Noble Gold specializes in storing the value of your wealth through gold IRAs, so they're truly a natural choice for your retirement portfolio. Act now, and with any qualified purchase, mention the word silver, and you'll get a 3-ounce silver American Virtue coin. You heard right. Just mention the word silver, and you'll get a 3-ounce silver American Virtue coin. Don't let inflation affect you or your retirement one more day. Visit NobleGoldInvestments.com today. That's NobleGoldInvestments.com. Investment involves risk. Past performance is no guarantee of future results.
Already coming up, the United States, we rejected monarchy, right? We don't like kings and queens, so we just now elect our monarchs and then we treat them like kings and queens. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Join Turtle Bay and Dutch Bros Coffee on Thursday, September 22nd for Caffeinate for a Cause. From 7 to 9 a.m. and 2 to 4 p.m., $1 from all drink sales and tips given to our honorary baristas go towards supporting Turtle Bay's educational programs. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
If you trust the government, if you believe the misinformation they're telling you is fact, you won't like our show, Poke the Hornet's Nest.
Hi, I'm your host, Doug Janke, and along with co-host Nick Gardner, we'll expose the dark side of governmental deception and misinformation from our local level, statewide, and to the national and world views.
On second thought, maybe the government believers should listen to the view of two middle-class, well-informed, working Americans.
Be sure to tune in to Poke the Hornet's Nest every other Sunday right here on KCNR1460.com, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, 8 to 9 every other Sunday morning.
And remember, you don't have to believe the artificial intelligence these people with college degrees are telling you, because sometimes they're misleading you. Listen to the other side of the news.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts, Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill we all have to pay? The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson State of Mind.
Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
Hi, Bob the Drop here. The other day I had a close encounter with my friends from Mars. I visited them a few years back, and they discovered the great taste of Mount Shasta spring water. Well, I guess they ran out, so they came back to Earth to get some more. I reminded them it comes from a protected spring at the base of Mount Shasta, and it's bottled at the source. I guess they just didn't get the part about us delivering right to your door. Have your own close encounter by calling 1-800-922-6227 to get some of the best tasting water in the galaxy. Pure and simple, naturally, the best Mount Shasta spring water.
Join Turtle Bay and Dutch Bros Coffee on Thursday, September 22nd for Caffeinate for a Cause. From 7 to 9 a.m. and 2 to 4 p.m., $1 from all drink sales and tips given to our honorary baristas go towards supporting Turtle Bay's educational programs. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
Against, for example, the idiotic spectacle of the State of the Union Address. I hate the State of the Union Address. It's monarchic. It's more lavish than anything the royal family does. I mean, we spend more money on the president's vacations than the Brits spend on the royal family. In fact, you know, our presidents aren't supposed to be like regular people. We elect dullards to the highest offices in the land, and then we treat them like monarchs, which is why I suppose Karine Jean-Pierre spent yesterday defending the fact that Joe Biden has been taking like 8 vacations every month.
17% of Americans have, according to this Gallup poll, have canceled vacations or traveled less. The president's been to his beach house 6 times this year. He's been to North and South Carolina on vacation. Has the president himself considered personally reducing his spending because of inflation, or had the administration reduce spending?
So can I'll say this. The times that the president has gone to Delaware, not including, and we were very clear that when he went to South Carolina in August and Rehoboth, he was going to go spend time with his family, which every president does. That is not unusual. That is not uncommon to do. And the president has a right to spend time with his family, just like every other American across the country.
Well, is every other American taking this many vacations from their job, where you're the most powerful person on the planet? Didn't know that. But again, the way that Americans see their politicians is essentially like royalty. We have a couple of royalty sort of oriented things that we in America like to do. We have our celebrity class. Those are royalty. And then we have our politicians who we treat like royalty. Both of these things are unbelievably stupid. The biggest problem is with treating our politicians like royalty, because when you do that, they actually start to act like kings, like old school kings. See, the thing about the monarchy that used to be bad is the monarchy used to have actual power. Now the monarchy has no power in Britain. Okay, but when you unite celebrity worship with political power, what you end up with is the possibility of people using that extraordinary power in order to crack down on their political opponents. Today's perfect example of this, and it really is quite frightening, actually, is Kathy Hochul. So Kathy Hochul is the governor of New York, and she tweeted out a couple of days ago, quote, "Everyone needs to do their part to combat gun violence. American Express, MasterCard, and Visa should categorize firearm purchases and flag a suspicious activity, just like they do for millions of other transactions. Together, we can help stop gun trafficking and keep New Yorkers safe." So again, the idea here is that now your credit card company is supposed to keep tabs on you if you exercise your Second Amendment rights. And this is part and parcel of a broader left-wing attempt to basically cudgel corporate America into doing their bidding, using ESG to tell energy companies that they need to stop drilling for oil and natural gas, for example. Attempting to get credit card companies to remove NRA giveaways and breaks that you get on your credit card because the NRA is super, super bad. The unbanking of large swaths of the American public that the left would really, really like to see. That sort of stuff is scary. Again, when you unite worship of government with powerful government figures, you end up with some really negative stuff. And if you're talking about things that are capable of splitting apart a polity, that would be it. Once politicians start using the auspices of private business in order to shut down their political opposition, that's truly frightening stuff. And by the way, this applies on the left as well as the right. Like I mentioned before, that there's this idiot professor from Carnegie Mellon University who was putting out this tweet about how she hoped for that Queen Elizabeth II suffered on her deathbed. Well, that tweet was taken down by Twitter. That's not something Twitter should be doing. When you have private corporations that are basically acting as censors, that is not a good thing. Quote unquote free speech corporations that are doing the bidding. It's not good when Mark Zuckerberg goes on Joe Rogan and admits that the FBI basically asked him to quash the Hunter Biden story. That sort of stuff is not worthy of a great republic. But more and more, we don't have a great republic so much. In order to sort of restore that, we're going to have to restore some of the common bonds and common vision that made America unique. So actually, I do have one piece of good news today. So, you know, remember a couple of weeks ago, I went over to Podcast Movement in Dallas. It's sort of personal piece of good news, but I think it has some larger consequences for the American public debate. So you'll remember that it was a national news story because I went over to this conference called Podcast Movement. We had bought a booth over there and I just walked the floor. I happened to be in town for actually another event and my people were like, "Do you want to come in? Do you want to say hello?" I went, I walked the floor a little bit. And Podcast Movement then put out this abject apology for my presence. They said that my very presence, my very existence was threatening to some people. And they couldn't, and they regretted the harm that it had caused. Well, yesterday, finally, they decided that they were going to back off of that. So they put out a statement suggesting that they were apologizing for that. They said, quote, "As we stated, we're continuing to evaluate our policies and guiding social media and events with inclusivity, diversity, and respect for all. We have to start by sincerely apologizing to Mr. Shapiro for our reaction when he visited a booth we sold his company. That wasn't right." So that is a good sign. That's a good sign for America. When people back off of censorious viewpoints, that is a very good. In fact, this may be the first time I've actually seen a significant company back off a censorious viewpoint thanks to blowback from people, not just on the right, but in the center. The people who said this is ridiculous. You can't do this. You can't just call yourself a sort of pro-free speech, pro-diversity of viewpoint event, and then ban the biggest podcaster on the political right and the biggest political podcast in the country. You can't do that. And so good for Podcast Movement. Again, no hard feelings. That's the way this works. If you do the right thing, then we praise you. And if you do the wrong thing, then we smack you. And Podcast Movement backed off. And I think that actually is a good sign for the country. Because again, if we're going to have any shared values, one of those values has to be the ability of people to speak freely on a variety of political topics, even if we disagree with them. I know that that's a hard one for many people on the left, but it also happens to be incredibly valuable. So whenever there's a victory in the business sphere about that, as we just saw with Podcast Movement, that is worthy of praise. And thanks also to our allies and our business partners over at Cumulus, who had essentially told Podcast Movement they continued along these lines. They were going to pull their money and they would stop sponsoring Podcast Movement. Good for Podcast Movement for recognizing the failure of the principles that they had suggested they actually believed in. And I'm glad that they've reverted back to a more free speech appropriate attitude. You're listening to The Ben Shapiro Show.
Hiring? You need ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter's powerful technology finds qualified candidates for you and invites them to apply. Try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/hire.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice.
Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Tayshia Stevens. Former President Trump and the Justice Department submit the names of their choices to serve as a court-appointed special master in the review of documents taken from Mar-a-Lago. The Justice Department proposed retired U.S. District Court Judge Barbara Jones and retired U.S. Court of Appeals Judge Thomas Griffin. President Trump's legal team proposed former U.S. District Court Chief Judge Raymond Deary and Paul Huck, Jr. France's president expressing deep sadness over the passing of Queen Elizabeth II in a televised speech.
President Emmanuel Macron remembered the Queen's love for the French nation.
Elizabeth II mastered our language, loved our culture, and touched our hearts.
Whilst he passed his condolences to the people of Britain and the royal family, he acknowledged that the monarch was more than just a Queen of Britain.
To you, she was your Queen. To us, she was the Queen. To us all, she would be with us forever.
Macron said no other foreign sovereign had visited the French presidential palace more often than Elizabeth, who had known all eight presidents of contemporary France. I'm Karen Chamas.
Burger King plans to invest $400 million in its U.S. restaurants.
It's happening over the next 2 years to update its stores and boost flagging sales. The burger chain says the investment includes $250 million to revamp stores and update technology and kitchen equipment, and $120 million for heavier advertising. The move comes after several years of disappointing sales at Burger King's 7,058 U.S. stores. Wendy's overtook Burger King as the number two U.S. fast food chain by sales in 2020 and held on to that spot last year. Keith Peters reporting.
The outer bands of Tropical Storm K having a positive effect on the heat and fire in Southern California, expected to help firefighters in their work as they battle fires there. More on these stories at townhall.com.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
The Supreme Court temporarily strikes a blow for religious freedom.
The court temporarily blocked a court order that would have forced Yeshiva University to recognize an LGBTQ group as an official campus club. The court acted Friday in a brief order signed by Justice Sonia Sotomayor that indicated the court would have more to say on the topic at some point. The university, an Orthodox Jewish institution in New York, argued that granting recognition to the group YU Pride Alliance would violate its sincere religious beliefs.
Speaking with the United Kingdom's Prime Minister, Liz Truss said that King Charles said the death of Queen Elizabeth was the moment that he and many others had been dreading. The Queen passed away Thursday after more than 7 decades on the throne. Meanwhile, the Queen will be laid to rest next to her late husband, Prince Philip, in the King George VI Memorial Chapel at Windsor. Prince Philip died in April of 2021 at the age of 99. They were married for 73 years. News and analysis at townhall.com. Economic confidence is slightly up in September.
Enthusiasm about the economy surged under former President Donald Trump, reaching as high as 147.8% in January 2020, before tumbling after the coronavirus lockdown threw Americans out of work and closed many businesses. By November 2020, it had recovered to 126.4%, but dropped sharply after President Joe Biden was elected. The index fell to 97.8% in February of 2021, before beginning a three-month rebound that took the index to 123.7% in May of 2021. Bernie Bennett reporting.
Well, Tesla is working on building a lithium refinery in Texas, reportedly. The company submitted an application to the Texas Comptroller's Office for tax breaks to build a battery-grade lithium hydroxide refining facility. Now, if it's approved, construction on the plant could begin later this year. According to the application, the refinery would be the first of its kind in North America. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Retirement may seem to be in the distant future, or it may suddenly arrive overnight. At Stifel Investments, we are committed to working closely with our clients. Planning tomorrow means understanding the challenges of today. Uncertain markets, rising costs, and longer lifespans. As a financial advisor of 25 years, I'm committed to helping my clients achieve retirement success. Let's get started today. This is Susan Eastman, Stifel Nicholas & Company, 244-7199.
Slow down.
Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage, and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
Hey, and welcome. This is The Ben Shapiro Show. The Ben Shapiro Show is sponsored by ExpressVPN. I talk about them every single show. Why haven't you gotten a VPN yet? At ExpressVPN right now, at expressvpn.com/Ben Shapiro. So, California is still suffering from serious energy issues. According to Bloomberg.com, California now faces the dual threat of blackouts from an overwhelmed grid, as well as from the risk of wildfires as a punishing heat wave continues to exact a toll on the state's power system. Edison International's Southern California utility warned Thursday afternoon it is considering cutting power to more than 50,000 customers to reduce fire risk in the drought-parched region. The warning could last through Saturday. The alert came after the state's grid operator had declared an emergency for a fourth straight day, asking residents and businesses to conserve power. The emergency level was canceled late Thursday without the need for planned outages, but a warning for a fifth straight emergency on Friday is already in place. Now the system faces a new danger of wildfire smoke reducing generation from solar panels. Yeah, it turns out that bad forestry policy, combined with bad energy policy, leads to a pretty unlivable state. The threat of rolling blackouts has shaken confidence in the power grid, adding fuel to the debate over how quickly the state should transition to renewable energy and revived fears about the impact of climate change. It's also contributed to higher gasoline prices in the state, according to Bloomberg. Total demand is expected to reach 48.8 gigawatts, below the record high of 52 gigawatts achieved on Tuesday. But the grid Thursday and Friday faces the power of much less solar and wind power. Wildfire smoke and cloud cover reduced output from solar farms on Thursday and will likely cut generation by as much as 1 gigawatt on Friday. So the smoke is so bad it's actually blocking the sun from reaching the solar panels. Weaker wind gusts on Thursday and Friday are diminishing another important electric source for the state. Edison spokeswoman Diane Castro said the threat of public safety power shutoffs may last all the way into Saturday, but mostly affect customers in L.A., Orange, and Riverside counties. Those are the most populous counties in the entire state. The utility is forecasting strong winds with the highest intensity between 6 a.m. and 6 p.m. on Friday. The heat wave that started at the end of August has also taxed the natural gas-fired power plants the state has relied on to help stave off outages. The longer the conditions endure, the risk of a failure will increase. Sacramento has been above 100 degrees since August 31st. Californians are also seeing gas prices surge again, despite the summer travel season coming to an end because, again, of power shortages. Meanwhile, the EPA administrator is actually excited about California. This is Michael Regan saying, you know, this is amazing. We should all follow California's lead. It's all about the green energy, guys. You know, the green energy that keeps failing.
You have an electricity crisis right now because of the heat. Is there anything the EPA can do about what's going on out west?
We put together rules that began to reduce pollution that are exacerbating this climate crisis. But in the bipartisan infrastructure law, the Department of Energy receives significant resources to invest in a more resilient grid. We're also putting together rules and regulations that encourage more investment in clean energy, which is distributed, so that we can be more nimble and mobile as we face this climate crisis.
It's amazing. There's more green energy. That's the solution, gang. More cowbell. Meanwhile, Ron DeSantis is mocking Gavin Newsom as well. He should. So Gavin Newsom ran an ad in Florida talking about the evils of Florida. Florida is a place where it's not free. You have to come to California where it's free. Meanwhile, they can't keep the lights on. Homeless people are shooting heroin into their feet in your front yard, and crime has skyrocketed. But, yeah, everything's amazing in California. Here's Ron DeSantis going after Gavin Newsom.
I hear a lot of people chirping about Florida from, like, California. They're so worried about Florida, they can't even keep the power on in California. I mean, are you kidding me? Someone told me that they will be able, once all the people that want to move to Florida move out of there, then maybe they'll have adequate power. But, I mean, it's just ridiculous.
It is ridiculous. I've been enjoying my adequate power here in Florida for quite a while, as I say. My AC last night was at 68 degrees, and it was delightful. If I were in California right now, I'd be worried about whether I was going to have to even be able to turn on my air conditioner. Like, was the grid going to blow out? As I've said before, it did multiple times while I was living in California. Well, one of the things that I love, I think, most about the way that the left approaches economics and things like energy policy is their absolute unwillingness to just stare reality in the face or to blame things that are clearly their own ideas' fault on other ideas. So Paul Krugman is the king of this. Paul Krugman, who is a just terrible economics columnist for the New York Times, actually won a Nobel Prize for writing about trade policy, but not for writing about general economic policy, because pretty much everything he has said for the past 30 years is wrong when it comes to general economic policy. He talks about how it's time for Europe to move into wartime footing, how price controls and wage controls are probably the solution for Europe. And that just shows that free markets don't work. It's really funny. This is the constant pattern from the left on economics. Governments do what the left wants. Those policies fail. When those policies fail, they say the answer is more government. And the failure is to be blamed on capitalism. This is what they say about, for example, the 2007-2008 recession. They'll say, well, that was just a failure of free market capitalism. That's what happened right there. Well, no, it was that the government created massively perverse incentives for companies to create debt instruments rooted in bad debt and then to collateralize those debt instruments, slice them and dice them into things like credit derivative swaps, infusing that bad debt all the way throughout the American economy and the international economy. That was the fault of bad government incentivization programs. And then they blame it on the free market. It's the most irritating thing to watch. Well, here's Krugman doing it again. Alrighty, coming up. California's energy policies are bad, obviously. The United States is pursuing bad energy policy. But the good news is you can always find people like Paul Krugman to continue to champion bad policy and pretend it's good policy. First, if you own a business, it's been a pretty bumpy ride over the last couple of years from the pandemic to inflation. You probably use a break, and it's quite possible that you actually overpaid your taxes. This is why you need to talk to my friends over at Innovation Refunds. If your business has five or more employees and managed to survive COVID, you could be eligible to receive a payroll tax rebate of up to $26,000 per employee. This is not a loan. There's no payback. It is a refund on your taxes. The challenge is how do you get your hands on it? How do you cut through the red tape and get your business the refund money? Go to GetRefunds.com. Their team of tax attorneys are highly trained in this little-known payroll tax refund program. They've already returned $1 billion to businesses, and they can help you as well. They do all the work, no charge up front. They simply share a percentage of the cash they get for you. Businesses of all types can qualify, including those who took PPP, nonprofits, even those that had increases in sales. To find out if your business qualifies, just head on over to GetRefunds.com, click on Qualify Me, answer a few quick questions. This payroll tax refund is only available for a limited amount of time. Don't miss out. Head on over to GetRefunds.com. Again, that's GetRefunds.com. If you paid too much money to the government, why wouldn't you just try to get some of that back? Head on over to GetRefunds.com to get started. He talks about the fact that Russia is now cutting off the oil and gas supplies to Europe, how he's attempting essentially to freeze Europe into compliance over Ukraine. And Krugman says, the embargo has raised the economic stakes. 6 months ago, there was a lot of discussion about whether Europe could or should stop importing energy from Russia. Well, Russia has in effect made that decision on Europe's behalf. Europe seems set to respond by doing what democracies always do when confronted with wartime inflation, imposing windfall profits taxes, price controls, and probably rationing. Now, you know what Europe would not have had to do if they actually produced their own power? Any of that. So it was your bad green policy and your economic policy that led to now the necessity for further government intervention. Government intervention is always bootstrapping itself. Government intervention is we put in place a policy, it fails, more government intervention is the solution. Says Paul Krugman, it's important to understand the nature of the problem the Russian cutoff poses. The physical scarcity of gas, while real, shouldn't be crippling. Europe currently has above normal amounts of gas in storage. Between conservation measures and alternative energy sources, Europe should be able to get through the winter without freezing. Oh, they should be able to. Well, that's encouraging. The key problem instead is financial and ultimately social. European gas prices have soared. And as buyers turn to alternatives, prices of other energy sources, including nuclear, renewable, and coal, have also soared. Textbook economics says this is how things are supposed to work. Europe is facing a major energy shortfall. Higher prices give everyone an incentive to alleviate that shortfall. Consumers will have an incentive to turn down their thermostats, improve their insulation, and wear sweaters. Producers will have an incentive to maximize production and add capacity. Letting markets do their thing is the efficient policy. But this is grotesquely inequitable. Ah, so the solution, obviously, is to continue to subsidize energy at an unsustainable rate through taxation. Wartime redistribution. You know what would have been amazing is if you hadn't put constraints on supply, you idiots. Again, when you keep constraining supply, it turns out that the price rises. Then you complain that the price rises inequitably impact people who are poor. Yeah, but the prices wouldn't have risen this much if you hadn't already constrained supply. That's the point. You keep putting government regulations in place that constrain the supply and demand curve, and then you're like, wow, this supply and demand curve isn't working. Clearly, we need government intervention. Paul Krugman says energy producers whose costs haven't risen will reap huge profits, while many families and some businesses will face financial ruin from gigantic energy bills. The energy producers whose costs haven't risen will reap huge profits. They have shortages. What are you talking about? Lecturing the losers about the importance of incentives for efficiency isn't going to mollify them. There's also a macroeconomic risk, says Paul Krugman. Europe still has powerful unions. Some of them will be in position to demand wage increases to offset a soaring cost of living. The result could be a wage price spiral that would be costly to unwind. Hey, wait, so isn't that another government-created problem? You mean the governments that have been warm toward union demands for literally decades? You mean those unions have too much power and they can wreck the economy? Maybe the solution would be to not do that. But at no point does he question government dependence on unions. That's just assumed as a good. So regulations on energy are assumed good. Union power is assumed as a good. And then when both those things are bad, the answer is the free market has failed, according to Paul Krugman. He says just letting energy prices rise really isn't an option. What about handing out lump sum checks to compensate families for higher energy costs? On paper, this might look like a good idea, since people would still have an incentive to limit energy consumption. In practice, though, different families, even if they have similar incomes, can have very different energy bills. So Europe seems set to do what, as I said, democracies always do when faced with wartime inflation, try to protect the public from very large price increases, and also try to prevent extremely high profits at a time of public distress. On Wednesday, Ursula von der Leyen, the president of the European Commission, issued a statement on energy calling for a mandatory target for reducing electricity use, a cap on revenues, and a solidarity contribution for fossil fuel producers. It's important to note von der Leyen isn't the head of a government and has very little direct power, but her proposed measures probably give a pretty good idea of where Europe is heading. Will it work? The details will, of course, be crucial. One hopeful sign is Europe isn't willing to pull a Nixon and try to suppress inflation with controls even while juicing up the economy. We'll see how it plays out. But we're getting a real-time lesson in the realities of economic policy. You can't, indeed shouldn't, always let markets rip. If you had let markets rip on energy in the first place, you would not have a problem right now, would you? Again, the idea is always that after we put massive constraints on markets, when the markets then are unable to overcome those massive constraints, the answer is more massive constraints. And all of this, again, is driven by utopian foolishness, utopian silliness. I think the best quote of the day comes courtesy of the Australian Foreign Minister, Penny Wong, who's asked about net zero carbon emissions. She's like, I have no idea what that means, but we're doing it.
Would the minister please explain to the Australian people and I what net zero emissions actually means in layman's terms?
I'm not sure how to explain it other than to say it means net zero. I understand that the senator, it's one of those situations. I'll think through if I can provide an explanation that makes it clearer than that. But to me, the words net zero are quite clear.
Well, actually, it's very easy to explain. It means that whatever amount of carbon dioxide you're putting into the atmosphere, you have to create methods of absorbing, which means when we say net zero, that you have to radically reduce emissions because the ability to absorb is significantly less than the ability to produce, which is why. But she can't actually explain it, but we're going to do it anyway. Just genius stuff. Already coming up, our Treasury Secretary is out there bragging about her genius economic policy. There's only one problem. It's not true. The Ben Shapiro Show.
Do you have something you'd like to get painted? Then bring it to Victory Powder Coating. Powder coating is a durable, colorful, environmentally friendly alternative to paint. It's useful in automotive, agricultural, decorative, and high-temperature applications. Victory Powder Coating has become the North State leader in powder coating applications and metal finishing. They specialize in large industrial items like truck beds, agricultural equipment, and trailers. They're dedicated to providing superior work and outstanding customer care. Consider Victory Powder Coating for your next project. Victory Powder Coating.
When people ask me for a recommendation for a heating or air conditioning company, I always say Alliance Heating and Air. Why? Well, they've been taking care of our HVAC system for 14 years. Professional, friendly, and willing to go to the extra step for their customers. I have found no problem too difficult or too minor for them to repair. I recommend Alliance Heating and Air with no reservations. You can reach them at 530-221-2642 or online at homecomfort.org. And they have 24/7 emergency assistance. Alliance Heating and Air.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon until 2. Our expert guests will give you the whole story rather than a bunch of sound bites. Our commercial-free archives are always available at wethepeopleradio.us.
Sponsored in part by Pape Machinery, located at 3119 Twinview Boulevard, for all your local John Deere ag and turf products. Join us every Sunday from noon until 2, wethepeopleradio.us.
What shall we do about them?
BNT Satellite has you covered with a 2-year TV price guarantee from Dish. Great TV service, stable price, no surprises.
Don't call the 800 number.
Call 530-241-3474 or visit BNT Satellite, your local premier Dish retailer today.
Monthly equipment fees and other restrictions apply. Recording hours vary. 2,000 hours based on SD programming. Remote viewing requires internet connection and compatible mobile device.
Hi, this is Elle. Join me and my good friend and co-host Ron Lim for our new show, Ask Elle, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM every Tuesday night at 6 p.m. starting in September. We'll be exploring powerful topics on how to have a successful and satisfying relationship. See you here Tuesday night at 6 p.m.
Brought to you by Carlene's and Deja Vu Restaurants.
Jump so high.
Join us at Wind River Resort and Casino to see the award-winning Nitty Gritty Dirt Band. The Nitty Gritty Dirt Band remains one of the most accomplished bands in American roots music.
You and me go fishing in the dark.
This high-energy show will fill the event center Friday, October 7th. Tickets start at $30.
Plus fees. Must be 21 to attend.
Purchase your tickets now at the River Club or WinRiver.com and find your moment at Wind River Resort and Casino.
Your podcasts.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So, the people who lead our government are only the wisest. They are only the best. People like, you know, Janet Yellen, the not very good head of the Federal Reserve turned not very good head of the Treasury Department, also apparently a Harfoot. She says that we are experiencing one of the fastest economic recovery on record, as though none of this ever happened, as though COVID never happened, as though we weren't in an artificially induced economic coma.
Due to the American Rescue Plan and our vaccination campaign, the United States experienced the fastest pace of job creation in our history. Household balance sheets are strong, and businesses continue to invest. Our broad and inclusive recovery has outpaced that of most other large economies.
We're doing amazing, guys. Did you know that we're doing amazing? Well, it's weird then that according to the Wall Street Journal, consumers feel worse now than they did during the COVID lockdowns. That's how swell things are going. Quote, the University of Michigan survey of consumer sentiment measures how U.S. consumers feel about their personal finances, business conditions, and buying conditions. Recent surveys have shown consumers have rarely felt more downbeat about all of these measures. In the past, when consumer sentiment was as depressed as it is today, stocks were in a bear market, unemployment was higher than average, or prices were rising faster than usual. This year, inflation has been at near four-decade highs and a main driver of consumer pessimism. The S&P 500 is in a bear market, but up 7% from its 2022 low. Uncharacteristically of periods with low sentiment, unemployment is also historically low. But inflation has dramatically depressed people's consumer spending habits. There's been a massive downturn in stocks, obviously. Since the late 1970s, consumer outlook has tended to rise and fall with stock returns. That trend has continued to hold this year. And in 1980, although both years had lower sentiment readings than in other periods with worse returns. Historically, sentiment also tracks the labor market. This year is an exception to that pattern, mainly because people think that the employment is going to follow what the Federal Reserve does, which is correct. In fact, even in the early COVID-19 pandemic, when unemployment was at nearly 15%, consumers were more optimistic than they have been in 2022. The bleak outlook this year, according to the Wall Street Journal, reflects the impact of inflation, which is at its highest levels since the early 1980s. It's not limited to the United States, by the way. Consumer sentiment has declined in many of the countries tracked by the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development. The mood among consumers is particularly depressed in Europe. The UK, Netherlands, and Sweden have experienced larger than average declines in consumer sentiment for 10 straight months. It's going to get a lot worse over there because inflation is really going to kick in full scale. Jonathan Miller, senior economist at Barclays, recently said the fundamentals fall somewhat short of explaining the worsening of sentiment since January. But again, part of that is a feeling that our leadership does not know what they are doing. This is the generalized problem with people who proclaim expertise and then suck at their jobs. This includes Janet Yellen. The Wall Street Journal editorial board has a good piece on the whoppers that Janet Yellen has been telling. So she started by saying the other day she spoke at a Ford plant that they are subsidizing. She said the causes of inflation are largely global. The Wall Street Journal says, well, sure, Russia's Ukraine invasion has contributed to higher energy prices, but U.S. inflation had already hit nearly 8% on an annualized basis before the invasion began in February. It was climbing fast in the autumn of 2021, when the administration was still calling price increases transitory. U.S. inflation has been substantially homegrown. Trillions of dollars in federal spending hit an economy that was already recovering strongly from the pandemic with a tight labor market. This goosed demand while supply was constricted. The Federal Reserve kept the money spigots open for too long. Ms. Yellen is also at pains to stress how much fairer the economy is since Biden took office. She said, quote, prior to the pandemic, higher inequality was accompanied by slower growth. But that's not even remotely true. Before the pandemic, inequality was falling as wages rose faster for low-income workers than they did for the affluent amid healthy growth. She also fails to mention the U.S. economy contracted by about 1% of GDP in the first 6 months of this year, even as real wages were actually falling, which has made inequality significantly worse. But, of course, Yellen isn't going to talk about that, because if you acknowledge her economic failings, then they've got a real serious problem on their hands. Again, the experts, they're always experting out there. Meanwhile, over in Washington, D.C., in the most ironic story of the day, remember that time when all of these cities declared themselves sanctuary cities? And sanctuary cities, they're the best, right? Illegal immigration is totally okay in places like Washington, D.C. or in Los Angeles, California. It's wonderful. Really important stuff, right? After all, we stand with illegal immigrants, unless the illegal immigrants actually show up. At that point, we start to get a little bit nervous. So yesterday, a D.C. council member named Brianna Nadeau said that Arizona and Texas were turning the capital city of the United States into a border town. But what's wrong with that? I thought border towns are good. What are you complaining about? What's the problem?
We've learned from border towns like El Paso and Brownsville. And in many ways, the governors of Texas and Arizona have turned us into a border town. We don't know how long this will take to resolve. We don't know how long they will continue busing. And so the right thing to do here is to be prepared to ensure we can greet every bus. We can get people off on the right foot. We can get them where they want to go. And that will ultimately help them.
I was told border towns are good, though, right? I mean, after all, they are on the border, and they include many illegal immigrants. So it's all fun and games to be a sanctuary city until precisely the moment at which you actually have to pay for the words that your mouth has been speaking, which is why, presumably, Washington, D.C. Mayor Muriel Bowser declared a public emergency on Thursday in response to the arrival of thousands of migrants in the district on buses from Texas and Arizona. By the way, Texas and Arizona should keep doing this. If you advocate a policy, you should feel the impact of that policy. It is that simple. Democrats have an expertise in trying to get their constituents to avoid the actual cost of their policies. This is why, for example, Democrats are very much in favor of state and local tax deductions, because they don't actually want taxpayers in California to have to foot the bill for their dumb tax policy. They want you to be able to deduct your state taxes against your federal income tax rate. It's why even when I was in California and paying additional taxes on an ideological level, it was like, nope, if you vote for it, you ought to take it. Well, same thing here in Washington, D.C. If you say you are a sanctuary city, if you say illegal immigration is a good, then why don't you pay for it? According to National Review, the declaration allocates funding to create an Office of Migrant Services, which will provide migrants with temporary accommodations and transportation. The mayor said, we're putting in place a framework that would allow us to have a coordinated response with our partners. This will include a program to meet all buses, and given that most people will move on, our primary focus is to make sure we have a humane, efficient welcome process that will allow people to move on to their final destination. Regardless of the federal response, which I think has been lacking in some respects, criticism of Joseph McBiden, the District of Columbia will continue to work with partners to advance what we need and ensure our systems in D.C. are not broken by a crisis that is certainly not of our making. Is it of the making of people in Texas, the border crisis? Right. Well, why? So let's get this straight from your it's a crisis now. So when people in Texas and Arizona said illegal immigration was a crisis, you were like, you're a racist. When those people arrive in your city and you call it a crisis, it's the fault of Texas and Arizona, or is it the fault of the politicians that you support? The declaration came after Texas Governor Greg Abbott said the Lone Star State is, quote, filling gaps left in Biden's absence at our border, in part by busing illegal immigrants to sanctuary cities. Abbott noted late last month, Texas has made over 19,000 arrests, seized over 335 million lethal fentanyl doses, and sent over 7,400 migrants on buses to D.C. and over 1,500 to New York. Abbott previously said he decided to send busloads of migrants to those cities, quote, because of President Biden's continued refusal to acknowledge the crisis caused by his open border policy, saying the state of Texas has had to take unprecedented action to keep our community safe. So, yeah, I mean, they should own it, is the bottom line here. And there is something hysterical about the city of Washington now declaring that there is a public emergency because of a few thousand migrants arriving. You should try Texas, where literally hundreds of thousands of people are arriving on the border every single month. Alrighty, coming up, we'll be joined by George Farmer, the CEO of Parler and also a leader in the Brexit movement, to discuss the death of Queen Elizabeth II. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Hey, y'all, are you a chicken fried steak fan? You're going to want to stop over at Black Bear Diner, where they've just introduced four new ways to love your favorite. Try the kitchen sink omelet, three eggs loaded with veggies, chicken fried steak, cheese, and country gravy. Or a new take on a crispy sandwich, crispy or spicy, piled high with goodies, and crispy chicken fried steak. If pasta's your game, they've got you covered with smooth fettuccine alfredo topped with chicken fried steak. Now serving for a limited time, Black Bear Diner.
How's school, son?
Okay.
Just okay?
Yeah, Mom. I'm the smartest kid in the world. Now, can I borrow the car keys?
No, what happened?
There was some drama in the parking lot. Someone backed into my buddy's car. I'm meeting him at Mako.
Mako Collision Repair and Auto Painting Center at 3045 Crossroads Drive. Now, did you call ahead and make an appointment at 530-226-0992?
Yep.
You are my smartest child.
Mom, I'm your only child.
Uh-oh. Better call Mako. Mako Collision Repair and Auto Painting Center at 3045 Crossroads Drive. Call for your free estimate at 530-226-0992.
Where do you go in Shasta County to get advice on the best type of firearm to meet your needs and how to safely carry and use it? The answer is to join the revolution at locally owned Bastiani Arms. Bastiani Arms believes in a better way to serve their customers and providing them with all the information needed to make the right decisions before and after the sale. They have a large selection of guns and ammunition and always special discounts for veterans. Self-protection is your right. Join the revolution at Bastiani Arms, 2539 Larkspur Lane in Reading, 222-8222.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay. The time has come. 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. Although Coachmaster is recognized as the authority and specialist in frame and suspension, we are primarily your auto body and truck collision repair center. This includes all vehicles, Lexus, Honda, or pickup trucks. Our technicians are highly trained and have the most advanced equipment to ensure a complete and quality repair. With our knowledge and the insurance claim process, all we need is your claim number to handle your claim. Coachmaster has a great working relationship with all insurance companies. This ensures a complete repair with quality parts and a delay-free process. At Coachmaster, in our 50 years in business, we've experienced almost every situation imaginable in a claim. This experience and personal dedication to the repair of your vehicle sets Coachmaster apart from all other choices. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Obtaining a California concealed weapons license will allow the licensed individual to transport a listed handgun in their vehicle or on their person in public. For application instructions, training, and other information, contact NFI at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
Slow down. Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage, and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
Veterans, did you know that Shasta County Veterans Service Office is open to all veterans who have served our nation? Whether a combat veteran or a member of the reserves with limited active duty time, you have earned benefits. If you have any military benefit or veteran-related questions, call 530-225-5616 or stop by Shasta County Veterans Service Office at 1855 Shasta Street, Redding, California. This message is brought to you by Korean War veteran Senator Maurice Johannesson, former Secretary, California Veterans Affairs.
BTS for 25 cents per gallon cash back on your first fill-up.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. Joining us on the line is George Farmer. He is the CEO of Parler. He was also a leader in the UK Brexit movement. Of course, he's also married to our own Candace Owens here at Daily Wire. George, thanks so much for joining the show. Really appreciate it.
No worries, Ben. Good to be with you.
So for those of us who are not British, why don't you explain what it feels like as a Brit on the day after the death of Queen Elizabeth II?
Yeah, I mean, it's a huge emotional moment. I guess a huge emotional day yesterday. It's difficult to describe. I was trying to find a comparable analogy to for the US market, I guess. It's almost as if, you know, some beloved mother figure of the nation has passed away. I mean, that's really what it feels like. You know, she was queen when President Truman was around. I think that's a good perspective for Americans to take just in terms of historical legacy. Her first prime minister was Churchill. This is a woman who was queen when my mother was born. She was queen when I was born. She was queen when my children were born. She's been a constant theme of the nation of Britain since I can remember, since really anyone in my parents' generation can remember. It's a hugely moving and emotional day. And it was such a sad day in many ways because she represented that thing which society has now forgotten, which is duty. We talk so much about rights in our current society, but we forget about the right hand to the left hand. The right hand is duty and the left hand is rights. We cannot have one without the other. And she represented the best in terms of virtue and duty. So it's an incredibly emotional day, I think, for Britons around the world, but also for, you know, for the Commonwealth as well. And I think it's going to take some time to mourn her passing.
So, George, I think one of the things that this reminds Americans of is the fact that in Britain, history is taken incredibly seriously. Obviously, Elizabeth II didn't have any actual political power in Britain. She was more of a symbolic figure. But symbolism matters an awful lot in Britain. And she was a constant reminder both in sort of her symbology, but also in her person, because she spoke about history a lot, of what Britain brought to the world. And it seems like a lot of the rage at her upon her death is specifically based on that, this sort of left-wing notion that the British Empire was net-net a horrible thing for the world, that all Britain represents on the global stage is exploitation, colonialism, and cruelty.
Yeah. I mean, I've read some of the critics of her reign. I mean, there's a fundamental misconception of history, I think, amongst most of her critics. Yes, I mean, of course, the Queen has absolutely no political power, and the monarchy in Britain has had really no power since Charles I got his head chopped off, you know, in the English Civil War, which was in the 17th century. So history is taken very seriously. The monarch has no power, but the monarchy represents a constant, and that's something that I think I've appreciated more as I come over to the U.S. and move my life over here, is that the hyperpartisanship which one sees in America, for example, between obviously when Trump was president, you know, you saw this aggressive hyperpartisanship. In Britain, we had the same kind of fight. We had the same Brexit-based fight, which Trump ignited in the U.S. It was the same kind of argument, progressives versus conservatives. But the monarchy remains a constant, and that's actually something which can bring the nation together. And that's not appreciated by her critics, or wasn't appreciated by her critics. It's a theme which runs through the heart of the nation. People come together, they find solace in something which is beyond the political realm. She was not a colonizer. There's no doubt about it. I mean, the British Empire as a whole, of course, it had its faults, but on the whole, it was a force for good throughout the world. I mean, I think most people would say that the advancement of justice, the advancement of virtue, the advancement of law and civil society is a good thing. And that's predominantly what the British Empire advanced throughout the world during its tenure. And of course, she oversaw the dismantling of that in the post-Second World War era, which was part of the agreement really with America becoming the superpower, was that Britain would dismantle its empire. And of course, that started with the Suez Crisis in 1952. So you've got this this period that she oversaw, and she did it graciously as well, which I think is also underappreciated. So her reign was benign and oversaw this period of managed decline in Britain's imperial status, and she became the figurehead of a new Britain.
You know, George, one of the things that I think is so stunning about her as a personality is obviously look at her history. She's giving speeches at 21 talking about how she's devoting herself to the nation. I can't think of many 21-year-olds now who devote themselves to pretty much anything of importance. You're not considered an adult in the West until you hit about 35 now. But she's 21 years old, and she's taking that upon herself. She's 25 when she assumes the actual monarchy. And then she proceeds to sort of revitalize the British idea of the stiff upper lip, the idea of you know, courage in the face of adversity, the idea that Britain can weather all sorts of problems ranging from the attempted socialism of the 1960s and 70s through the COVID crisis. And I'm not sure that her like is going to be seen again. It seems like the British royal family has now morphed into the Charles and Diana age, in the Meghan Markle and Prince Harry age. I mean, I wonder what you think the King Charles III is going to be like, considering that he's been very politically active in a way that Elizabeth really was never active.
Yeah, I mean, that's a great question. And I mean, we all kind of wait to see what this is going to look like. I think that I'm not speaking out of turn, and certainly not speaking on behalf of a minority of Britons when I say that people are definitely concerned by the future reign of Charles III. I think, you know, the Queen exemplified in many ways the perfect monarch, because she was non-political and she never put her feet into the political realm. She represented soft monarchical power, which was, you know, near disapproval of something would often elicit a conversation about it. Whereas Charles is a bit more rambunctious. He tends to stick his feet into things quite aggressively on a pretty consistent basis. And certainly, of course, what you've seen with Harry and Meghan is very, Harry and Meghan are not liked in the UK. I don't think that's a secret. You know, they're genuinely disliked, I would say, quite aggressively. I think in many ways it will be William and Kate who take up the mantle, if anyone can, of Queen Elizabeth II in terms of continuing her sort of symbolism and soft power and quiet disposition. William seems to have the same quiet disposition, which is good. And I think we're all looking forward to those days ahead of us. I think the next few years are going to be quite turbulent in some ways.
Alrighty, coming up more with George Farmer first. We pay hundreds of bucks a year to protect our homes, cars, phones. Too many of us are not taking the steps we need to take to protect our families' finances. You know, mortgage payments, private student loans, those types of debt, they don't just disappear if, God forbid, something happens to you, which is why you need life insurance. It is just the responsible thing to do. And Policy Genius is the way to get the best life insurance at the lowest possible price. Policy Genius is an insurance marketplace that makes it easy to compare quotes from top companies like AIG and Prudential all in one place to find your lowest price on life insurance. You could save 50% or more on life insurance by comparing quotes with Policy Genius. Options start at just $17 per month for $500,000 of coverage. Head on over to PolicyGenius.com, get personalized quotes in minutes, find the right policy for your needs. The licensed agents at Policy Genius work for you, not the insurance companies. They're on hand throughout the entire process to help you understand your options so you can make decisions with confidence. Policy Genius doesn't add on the extra fees. Your personal information is going to remain private, so Policy Genius won't sell that off. They have thousands of five-star reviews across Google and Trustpilot, and there is a reason that 30 million people have shopped for insurance using Policy Genius, and Policy Genius has placed over $150 billion in coverage. Head on over to PolicyGenius.com, get your free life insurance quotes, see how much you could save today. And George, I think one of the things that people, you know, don't remember all that well. If you're my age, you don't remember it that well. I was only 13 when Princess Diana died, and so I don't really remember a lot of the turmoil surrounding Charles and Diana and the current Queen Consort, Camilla. You know, the way that the Queen presided over all of that really was pretty incredible, considering that her entire life was dedicated to the service of the British Empire. And because of that, she always saw the idea of family issues as being somehow separate from her duty as anathema. And that the family was the issue. And so when all of a sudden all of this sort of tabloidy stuff was breaking into the newspapers, when Diana was doing interviews with Martin Bashir talking about how there were three people in her marriage, when there were biographies of Princess Diana coming out in 1991 talking about how Prince Charles was cheating on her and, of course, neglecting the fact that Diana was having some side affairs of her own. Now, all of that stuff must have come as just a genuine shock to Elizabeth II. She treated it that way, but she was able to soldier through it.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of incredible when you think about it. I mean, if any other person was placed into the context of having to say nothing about their personal family life in the public realm when their personal family life is so on display as hers was, You know, the navigation of choppy waters is an incredibly difficult thing to do. I mean, we all have families, we all have family issues, you know, parents, sisters, brothers, people die, they also, you know, they make mistakes. She has never been able to say publicly how she feels about anything. I mean, this is something that the royal family have tried to keep as a private matter. And of course, it's a public matter because they are the royal family. She navigated some incredibly choppy waters during the 90s with Princess Diana's death, of course, at the time. And of course, many other times during her reign, you know, I mean, this was a reign which spanned 70 years. She saw the miners' strike of the 80s. She saw, as you rightly mentioned, the rise of socialism in Britain in the 1950s, 60s and 70s. Incredibly dark days in the 70s when, you know, Britain was rolling with three-day weeks. And she also saw, you know, the dismantling of the empire, the restoration of independence to many of the colonies. An incredibly fortuitous position to be in many ways, but also an incredibly difficult one to navigate, both personally and politically. And of course, those days in 1997 when Princess Diana died, you know, I remember them very vividly. They were some of the hardest days, I think, of her reign. You know, many people acknowledge that. And of course, the family got through it. But at the time, it was very, very difficult. It was difficult for the nation, but it was also difficult for her on a personal and a royal level.
George Farmer, CEO of Parler, he also has been involved in UK politics, including Brexit, for a very long time. George, while I have you on the line, I might as well ask you about the political transition that's been happening in Britain. So Liz Truss took over as Prime Minister of the UK over the course of the last couple of weeks. And there's a lot of talk about her sort of revitalizing the conservative movement inside the UK. Boris Johnson obviously was a magnetic figure, but he seems wedded to a sort of bizarre amalgam of ideas ranging from a sort of baseline level ideological conservatism to green revolution kind of stuff. His COVID lockdown policy was pretty bad. Liz Truss is coming in. She's basically saying, I'm going to cut government. I'm going to go back to sort of the Maggie Thatcher style of limited government and free market economics. We're going to ramp up energy production. What do you make of Liz Truss? What do you expect from her?
I'm skeptical, I would say, at the beginning. This is a conservative party which has got a poor track record of delivering on candidates' promises during the leadership race. You know, I've been involved in UK politics for quite some time, and for the last really 15 years, whenever you've seen a conservative leader coming on board, they've normally campaigned very strongly, you know, a Thatcherian mantra behind it all. You know, we're going to cut taxes, we're going to reinvigorate the business state, we're going to shrink the site, we're going to roll back the frontiers of the state, we're going to you know, empower the individual. And then when they get into government, the normal hallmark is the rollout of the state, no reduction in taxes, and not necessarily a pro-business environment. That's sort of been the hallmark of British politics for the last, I would say, 12 years. We saw it with David Cameron. We saw it with Theresa May. Boris Johnson went kind of down a very strange path of, you know, emergence of woke politics with also the green agenda and not really promoting anything that I could conceive of as conservative in many ways. And of course, as you mentioned, a very, very hard lockdown, which was incredibly negative for British society. So I'm waiting with bated breath, I guess, for Liz Truss and see what she can deliver on. I'm skeptical, and I would say that my faith in the Tory party has been lost in many ways over the last few years, just because of the fact that they failed to deliver on so many things that they've pledged to deliver on. It would be great if we took advantage of the promise of Brexit. That is really the kind of major point, which is that Brexit was a huge opportunity. It still represents a massive opportunity for Britain. We are clear of the continent. We are clear of the top-down statist agenda of the EU, which is a terrible organization. And we have an opportunity here to really cut our own path and to forge trade deals with different countries and different organizations that we wish to do so. If the Conservatives don't take advantage of that, it's more fool them. You know, this is a huge opportunity. We should take advantage of it.
That's George Farmer, CEO of Parler. George, really appreciate the time.
Thank you, Ben.
All righty, coming up, my friend David Limbaugh has a brand new book out about Christianity. We'll get to that in just a moment. But first,
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along, which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/hire. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And now you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. At ZipRecruiter.com/hire. That's ZipRecruiter.com/hire. ZipRecruiter.com/hire.
Alrighty, coming up, David Limbaugh has a brand new book out about Christianity. We'll talk about the threat to Christian values in the United States. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Remodeled kitchen, bathroom, or backyard patio? There's a lot of choices, but only one leader, Estate Granite.
Mike Huber has such a professional attitude and a can-do work ethic that makes him a joy to work with. Mike and his crew worked to have our new kitchen finished in 5 days. We came back to a true work of art.
Hi, this is Brian Filato, broker and co-owner of The Real Estate Group. In today's competitive market, I think what's important is that the house is dialed in and turnkey. And what's important is that the kitchen has been renovated, the bathrooms have been renovated, granite, beautiful cabinetry. Those things make a significant difference.
Mike at Estate Granite has an eye for detail, an attention to perfection, and a quality build crew that are masters of their craft. Mike was there from start to finish.
Hi, this is Mike from Estate Granite. I know how important quality to a homeowner is, so give me a call at 241-STONE or come by our showroom at 4900 Mountain Lakes Boulevard or visit us at EstateGranite.com.
A building that's meant to last is not built overnight. And for centuries, the cornerstone has been crucial to guide each brick and wall that comes after. A strong community relies on many cornerstones. So at Cornerstone Community Bank, we've taken our name to heart. Whether it's your business or your family, we'll provide the financial cornerstone that you need to build on. We're local. We're community. We're your cornerstone. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
The tradition continues at the Dry Creek Station at 22025 Highway 299 East in Bella Vista, featuring delicious steaks and seafood, chicken soup, salads, and much more. The Dry Creek Station, family-owned and operated, open since 1992, serving dinner Tuesday through Sunday from 5 to 9 p.m. with happy hour from 3 to 5. The Dry Creek Station is famous for their steamer clams. Friday through Sunday, don't miss their fabulous weekend specials. The Dry Creek Station at 22025 Highway 299 East in Bella Vista. So come on down to the Dry Creek Station, where quality and value meet.
Hi, this is Mark from Haven Humane Society. It has been a challenging couple of years, and through it all, our amazing team has continued to save lives. We have so many fantastic animals that are looking for their forever homes, and with adoption fees so low, now is the time to add to your family. With puppies, kittens, dogs, cats, and so many more, we have the perfect addition. Come join our team as a volunteer and help in an area that works for you. Walking dogs, socializing cats, helping our veterinary hospital, or folding laundry. We have many opportunities and welcome all volunteers. For more information, please visit our website at havenhumane.org or follow us on Facebook. On behalf of the entire Haven team, thank you for all of your continued support as together we get closer every day to a North State with no more homeless pets.
Gold Leaf Nursery is open. Have you noticed all the different colors of crepe myrtles blooming? They have several varieties and colors. Dwarf size, semi-dwarf, up to full size to choose from. And right now, they're on sale. And they are drought tolerant. It's a great time to buy. Gold Leaf Nursery carries a large selection of water-wise shrubs and trees. Gold Leaf Nursery and Landscaping since 1975. Open Wednesday through Saturday. Come in now to pick out your favorite color of crepe myrtle. Gold Leaf Nursery, located on Churn Creek Road, a quarter mile from Airport Road, across from Tucker Oaks Golf Course.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. Joining us on the line is David Limbaugh, longtime personal friend. He's also the author of a brand new book, The Resurrected Jesus, The Church in the New Testament. He actually wrote this book with his daughter. David, great to talk to you.
Hey, great to see you, Ben. Thanks for having me on.
So why don't we start by me asking you, you know, you've written now a bunch of books with your daughter. What is that like? I've never co-written a book, and I have to say that writing with my daughter. She's only 8 now, but maybe that'll change over time. It seems like kind of a difficult process. How has that been?
With you and your wife's brain, she might be able to, you might be ready for prime time now. But I would say, no, this is the first one I've ever written with, first one I've ever written with Kristen. And it was different. I mean, I've never had anybody ghostwrite for me or collaborate. And so it was strange, but it was very gratifying. I was trying to jumpstart her writing career, and it was an interactive process, but it wasn't like you do this chapter, I'll do this one. I would start the text, then ask her to edit, and then she'd contribute back. And then she injected a bunch of prayers, which I then edited. So it was that process. I don't think it would work to split up chapters.
So, David, let's talk about some of the themes of the resurrected Jesus. One of the things that you talk about extensively in the book is the idea that religious identity is not something that you kind of cultivate through your own efforts. It's actually something that you receive. How do you contrast that with sort of the secular identity that the world tries to foist on us today?
Yeah, I mean, the Christians are taught in the New Testament that our identity is in Christ. And I think it also applies to the Jewish faith, too, in the sense that, and you can tell me if I'm wrong, but God made us because he loved us and he wanted to give us life with him. And we find our identity in that assurance, and we kind of subordinate ourselves and our own ego and identity, and realize that we owe everything to God, and our hope of everlasting life is in him. And that, I think, contrasts with the idolatrous, narcissistic identity culture, identity politics culture, where they focus me about everything. And, you know, liberals used to pretend to be compassionate about the downtrodden and all that. Now it's just they're indoctrinated and instructed to care only about themselves and whatever badge of identity they have. And I think it's sad.
Yeah, David, one of the shifts obviously that's taken place over the course of the last several centuries, and it's really culminating in what's happening now, is something Carl Truman wrote about in The Rise and Triumph of the Modern Self. That the basic idea is that identity shifted from a religious version of identity in which you were born a certain way, and now you are expected to be civilized in accordance with outside eternal ideals. That's sort of the religious idea, is that you need to learn how to coordinate your own desires and what it is that you want with what God wants of you. And what God wants of you is just the more important thing. It actually lies at the center of who you are. And we've shifted that polarity. And now what lies at the center of you is whatever you feel about things. And if the standards just don't agree with what you feel about things, well, the standards have to be changed. The standards are wrong. I mean, I think that's why you're starting to see, for example, inside, for example, the Catholic Church. I mean, there's an entire article in the Wall Street Journal today talking about the debate inside the German Catholic Church about whether to liberalize teaching about sex. And if you're a religious Christian or a religious Jew, this idea is just anathema. The idea that you have sexual desires, and God had no idea about that when the Bible was written, either Old or New Testament. And therefore, we have to change the standard of the Bible, because after all, what would God know about what you're feeling today is just, it's directly the polar opposite of what biblical belief is all about.
Now, that is so well stated. And it is throughout all the cultural norms today. We in the church should encourage the culture to conform to the absolute standards, the permanent standards of the Bible. And instead, we, for whatever reason, we lack courage, we lack faith, we want to be liked, we want to please man rather than God. And so we have the church conform to the culture. You see it in the Methodist church that I'm a part of, although I don't even know if I want to say that anymore. There's about to be a big schism. And the liberals are in total control in America, it seems like. The only reason the church has stayed together this long is that the African Methodists are still traditionalists. How ironic is that? And so it's still inevitable that it's going to split, because liberals, whether they're secular or religious liberals, they will not be stopped. They will not quit. Even though they're outvoted, they'll keep hammering and bullying until they get their way. So they're going to. They will not, then they won't tolerate us in the church, and they won't tolerate us in the secular world. And so we see this gross distortion of gender definition, which is against God's created order. And you speak eloquently all the time and emphatically and unapologetically, but most people don't have the guts to even mention even the transgender mania. They're afraid to talk about it, or the the gay, the LGBTQ, whatever. You have to, you can't even criticize the drag queens without risking cancellation. It's really horrifying what's going on in the culture.
We're speaking with David Limbaugh. His brand new book is The Resurrected Jesus, the Church in the New Testament. David, congratulations on the book. Great to talk to you.
So good to talk to you. Thanks. Tell your dad hello.
I definitely will.
Take care.
All righty, folks, we've reached the end of the show, but we'll be back here Monday with much, much more. I'm Ben Shapiro. This is The Ben Shapiro Show.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Tayshia Stevens. Former President Trump and the Justice Department submit names of their choices to serve as a court-appointed special master for the review of document seized from Mar-a-Lago last month. The Justice Department proposed retired U.S. District Court Judge Barbara Jones and retired U.S. Court of Appeals Judge Thomas Griffith. President Trump's legal team proposed former U.S. District Court Chief Judge Raymond Deary and Paul Huck, Jr. A service of remembrance for the Queen.
Bishop Sarah Mullally said a life lived in the service of others is a rare jewel.
It is a jewel that Her Late Majesty the Queen wore as a crown.
Mullally called the Queen a symbol of unity, strength, forbearance, and resilience.
She has been this nation's unerring heartbeat through times of progress, joy, and celebration, as well as in much darker and more difficult seasons.
Mullally prayed that the Queen's words over the years can be a reminder of the power and strength that can be found in coming together. I'm Ed Donahue.
Congress is asked to get involved in a union spat.
The plea comes from the American Trucking Association. They want swift action to avoid what could cost the country billions of dollars every day. Contract negotiations between railways, including Union Pacific and CSX, and the unions representing 115,000 workers are at an impasse. President Biden appointed an emergency board that made settlement recommendations to help avoid disruptions to food and fuel supplies and worsening inflation. The trucking industry group urged Congress to be prepared to help if the major U.S. railways and the unions representing their workers do not have labor contracts in place by September 16th.
Correspondent Bill Alexander. Power companies in Oregon turning off the electricity in an effort to prevent wildfires during a windstorm. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Dennis Prager here to share a product that can help keep everyone more healthy, Cofix RX. Most of us know that viruses of all types are a part of life. What we don't always know are the right products that could be protecting us. So I'd like to tell you about Cofix RX and its doctor-approved secret ingredient. As a safety measure, many doctors and nurses have been using iodine to swab their noses for decades. Iodine has been in use since 1811, and 96% of us are iodine deficient. Using Cofix RX antiviral nasal spray with povidone iodine is a smart way to stay healthy. Cofix RX is made right here in the USA. It's simple to use. You spray it up your nose and the iodine destroys germs and pathogens where they multiply in the nasal cavity. Check out CofixRx.com, that's CofixRx.com, for a retailer near you, or use the coupon code Prager for 20% off at CofixRx.com.
An investigation at Brigham Young University finds no evidence to support a volleyball player's claim of racial heckling and racial slurs. Ed Donahue reports.
Duke sophomore Rachel Richardson says she was heckled during a match in August at BYU in Utah. A fan was identified during the match and was banned from the arena. The school now says it reached out to more than 50 people who were there, including athletic department personnel, student athletes from both schools, event security, and fans. It also reviewed audio and video from the match and found nothing to back up Richardson's claim. The fan banned from the arena is being allowed to return, and the school is apologizing. Duke's athletic director issued a statement standing by Richardson, saying they do not tolerate hate and bias. I'm Ed Donahue.
Party leader Chuck Schumer says the Senate will vote on legislation to protect same-sex marriage before the month is out. News and analysis at townhall.com. Russia is accused of trying to steal Europe's largest nuclear plant.
Inerho Atom chief Petro Kotin says Moscow wants to cut the plant off from the Ukrainian electricity grid and leave it on the brink of a radiation disaster. He adds the plant's been without an outside source of electricity since Monday and receives power for its own safety systems from the only one of its six reactors that remain operational, running as much as possible, but eventually it will have to be shut down and then the station will have to switch to diesel operators. Such generators are the station's last defense before a radiation accident. I'm Charles de Ledesma.
The Grinch has some competition this year. This December, Amazon cutting jobs from its telehealth service. 160 employees will be fired from Amazon Care Organization, 236 from Care Medical. More on these stories at townhall.com.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family-owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300, a reputation for excellence since 1965.
Hi, Rob Burrows here from Homeward Bound Military Family Support Services. We'd like to remind you to consider donating any leftover Halloween candy we can send to our troops during our Christmas packaging event. If you would like to donate leftover candy for packages for the troops, or non-perishable food items for our holiday meals for veterans and families of those deployed, please call the Northern California Veterans Museum at 378-2280. That's 378-2280. And again, thanks for your generous support.
Hiring? You need ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter's powerful technology finds qualified candidates for you and invites them to apply. Try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/hire.
Hey, hey, and welcome. This is The Ben Shapiro Show. The Ben Shapiro Show is sponsored by ExpressVPN. I talk about them every single show. Why haven't you gotten a VPN yet? Get ExpressVPN right now at expressvpn.com/Ben Shapiro. Every time a historic figure in the West passes away, it seems like it's a chance for a lot of people to dance on that person's grave, not particularly because they hate that person, but because they don't like the West very much. That is the only reason I can cite for why there are so many people on blue-checked Twitter, so many big thinkers out there, who are using Queen Elizabeth II's death as an opportunity to talk about the evils of the British Empire, to talk about the evils of England, to talk about the evils of Western civilization. And the reality is that when a historic figure like Elizabeth II passes away, it reminds us all that there are some pretty stellar things about Western civilization. It reminds us that the link in the chain that we represent in history, you know, are we going to pass on important eternal values to our children, or are we going to let those things fade away? Are we going to let those things be ripped apart by forces that don't like the things that make the West unique? The thing that made Elizabeth II a unique figure in world history is not only her tenure. I mean, she presided over the British Empire for 70 years in symbolic fashion, right? Because that was her job. She didn't actually have political power. She was a person who was expected to be a symbol of British unity, which meant really a symbol of Western civilization. The fact that she presided over the dissolution of the British Empire, the fact that she presided over all of these radical changes that happened in British society, but always held fast to certain principles, both religious and secular, that characterized British society, her death is going to leave a lasting imprint on Britain. Because now we've moved into a new era in the West in which you are not expected to perform your duty, in which you are not expected to represent, say, Judeo-Christian values to your nation, in which the symbolism of having a person who unites the realm, that sort of thing is seen as passé. Instead, we are just an agglomeration of various folks who have been sort of thrust together by the vicissitudes of history. Queen Elizabeth II represented a rebuttal to that. That's what her life was about. Her life was about assuming the crown at the grand old age of 25 when her father passed away prematurely. She already had several children at the time, and she stepped up, and her life was really about duty. In 1947, when she was 21, she made a public radio statement dedicating herself to the realm. This is in her birthday address at the age of 21. I'd like you to imagine a 21-year-old today in any Western country making this sort of move. 21-year-olds in America today, to take an example, are some of the most immature human beings who have ever walked the planet. They're not even expected to be as mature as, in many cases, 15 or 16-year-olds, 21-year-olds. This is when you are supposed to be living out your truth. You're not supposed to be assuming duty. It's a reminder of a time in Western civilization when 21-year-olds were expected to actually be adults, to watch then-Princess Elizabeth dedicating herself and her life to the English people.
I can make my solemn act of dedication with a whole empire listening. I should like to make that dedication now. It is very simple. I declare before you all that my whole life, whether it be long or short, shall be devoted to your service and to the service of our great imperial family to which we all belong. But I shall not have strength to carry out this resolution alone unless you join in it with me, as I now invite you to do. I know that your support will be unfailingly given. God help me to make good my vow, and God bless all of you who are willing to share in it.
This is in the immediate aftermath of World War II, obviously. It also happened to be in the quasi-immediate aftermath of the complete abdication of the crown by the older brother of her father, right? Her father was the younger son of King George V. His older brother, the queen's uncle, was actually supposed to be the king, but you recall your British history. In 1936, Edward abdicated to marry a divorcee who happened to be a kind of a Nazi sympathizer named Wallace Simpson. His abdication after less than a year, according to the UK Sun, elevated Prince Albert to King George VI. 10-year-old Elizabeth was now heir to the throne. So she was only 21 years old when she made this statement. This was after, by the way, during World War II, she actually drove ambulances on behalf of the British military. There's a pretty funny story much later in her life. Apparently, a Saudi king visited Great Britain, and she arrived in, he got in a car to be driven around, and she was behind the wheel. And she was making a statement that women can drive, because in Saudi Arabia, women were not and still are not allowed to drive. And she then proceeded to take him on, apparently, an extremely exciting car tour where she was driving at high rates of speed just to freak out the Saudi monarch and demonstrate that women actually were capable of driving. We'll get to more of this in just a moment, but first a word from our partners at Noble Gold.
NobleGoldInvestments.com. Inflation is real, and the rate only seems to be going upwards. Soon, $1 million in your retirement account won't even last as long as you need it. Look, you need to store the value of your money, and you need to do it fast. The solution is NobleGoldInvestments.com. A precious metals IRA acts like a shield for inflation. Noble Gold specializes in storing the value of your wealth through gold IRAs, so they're truly a natural choice for your retirement portfolio. Act now, and with any qualified purchase, mention the word silver, and you'll get a 3-ounce silver American Virtue coin. You heard right. Just mention the word silver, and you'll get a 3-ounce silver American Virtue coin. Don't let inflation affect you or your retirement one more day. Visit NobleGoldInvestments.com today. That's NobleGoldInvestments.com. Investment involves risk. Past performance is no guarantee of future results.
Well, she was coronated in 1953 in Westminster Abbey. It was obviously a historic moment because she would then proceed to guide the realm, at least in symbolic fashion, all the way from 1953 to 2022, which makes her the longest-serving British monarch in the history of the empire. So here was a little bit of the coronation. You see the film. For those who can't see, that there's that crown. That crown weighs just an enormous amount, being placed on her head. According to the UK Sun, the Queen spent her first 10 years in charge overhauling the stuffy, unapproachable image of the royals that Brits were used to, transforming them into a more modern and relatable family. She also had to deal with the fact that her sister, Margaret, was a rather difficult person. She televised her annual Christmas broadcast for the first time in 1957. That is an annual tradition that is now watched by millions of people. And she obviously became an incredibly popular monarch. She was very sympathetic. She got married in 1947, the same year that she made that address talking about how she was dedicating herself to the realm. And there's all sorts of wonderful film of her, the Silver Jubilee, in 1977, in which she gave a bit of a speech to the British people.
In the same golden fairy tale coach that carried her to the coronation in June 1953, Her Majesty and Prince Philip, to the thunderous cheers of hundreds of thousands of her subjects lining the room. she goes on a walkabout among her people. The simple but heartfelt...
You fast forward all the way to 1991. Elizabeth was really the glue that held the royal family together, because obviously her kids were very, very difficult. Prince Charles, who is now King Charles III, he obviously had an extraordinarily fraught relationship with Princess Diana and with the new queen consort, Camilla. He had been in love with Camilla. Camilla was now married to a different man. He ended up marrying Princess Diana when he was 31. Diana, I believe, was 19 years old. And then they had just a very difficult relationship. Diana was apparently cheating on him. He was cheating on her. It was a complete mess. Princess Diana went into the public eye with the problems in her marriage, which was considered really not what royals do. Again, if you're a person like Elizabeth II and you're defined by your duty to your country, the idea of spilling all of your dirty marital secrets, which actually have national implications in public to people like Martin Bashir, is something that you are not very much in favor of. Again, she was an emissary from a time when people were expected to keep their marital problems in-house rather than blasting those out on the front pages of the Daily Mail. In any case, in 1991, here was Queen Elizabeth II speaking before Congress.
I know what a rare privilege it is to address a joint meeting of your two houses. Thank you for inviting me. The concept, so simply described by Abraham Lincoln, as government by the people, of the people, for the people, is fundamental to our two nations. Your Congress and our Parliament are the twin pillars of our civilizations and the chief among the many treasures that we have inherited from our predecessors.
Okay, so that right there, by the way, we should just keep that in mind, what she says right there, because that is the reason why so many people are deeply upset about, you know, the reaction to Princess, to Queen Elizabeth II's death. There are a bunch of people on the left who hate Queen Elizabeth because of that. Because the idea that there's an Anglo-American tradition of parliamentary rule and democracy, and these things are bad. And we're going to get to the left's reaction to her death, because it really is quite astonishing that this historic human being dies, and the first reaction of a lot of people is, well, the British Empire was bad, and colonialism was bad, and democracy and free trade, apparently, were bad. Like, these things, historically speaking, came as a package. That does not dim the evils of colonialism. It does not mean that imperialism is a good thing. But as we'll discuss in just a second, trying to pretend that the legacy of the British Empire or of Queen Elizabeth II is somehow an evil, just overall it's bad and evil, because I guess Western civilization is bad, that is a fool's errand. As we were talking about with regards to sort of the internal family struggles in 1992, that was the big year, right? So the year after this address to Congress, that is when the marriage between Diana and Prince Charles started to break up. That is the same time that there's a biography on Diana that talked about how Diana had sort of been abandoned by the royal family. Now, the truth is that Diana was, again, not a super easy person. Diana was, she came into the royal family under kind of dim circumstances, given the fact that Charles had originally dated her older sister. She had come in, she was considered the people's princess, but then she also, you know, was not a particularly stable figure. In any case, when Princess Diana was killed in the car crash in 1997, that sort of historic moment, there was a lot of anger at the royal family because it seemed like they weren't in proper levels of mourning. She was already divorced from Prince Charles by this time, of course. And the Queen had to make a public statement about the death of Princess Diana. Here's a little bit of that.
Since last Sunday's dreadful news, we have seen throughout Britain and around the world an overwhelming expression of sadness at Diana's death. So what I say to you now, as your Queen and as a grandmother, I say from my heart. First, I want to pay tribute to Diana myself. She was an exceptional and gifted human being. In good times and bad, she never lost her capacity to smile and laugh, nor to inspire others with her warmth and kindness. I admired and respected her for her energy and commitment to others. I hope
okay, so again, this is sort of Elizabeth II's role, is that whenever there was a problem, it was her job to sort of patch everything back together. A little bit more on this in a moment, but first a word from our sponsor.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along, which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/hire. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And now you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. At ZipRecruiter.com/hire. That's ZipRecruiter.com/hire. ZipRecruiter.com/hire.
Alrighty, coming up, we are reviewing Queen Elizabeth II's long and storied life. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at KCNR1460.com. Join Sue McClain weekday mornings from 6 to 7 for the Sue McClain News Hour, where you'll hear the up-to-the-minute local news, national and international news, weather, sports, and a whole lot more. Followed by Free Fire Radio from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. with Carl and Linda Bach. From 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, equal opportunity critics. From noon to 3, learn how to get out of debt with Dave Ramsey. From 3 to 6, don't miss constitutional expert Mark Levin. Monday through Thursday nights, starting at 6 p.m., we have local shows featuring everything from the paranormal, local history, North State Now, and unsung heroes of our area. From 7 to 9, tune in to Ben Shapiro, your local downtown radio station, KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at KCNR1460.com.
Good morning, Reading. This is Rick Hughes, host of The Flatline. Heard every Sunday morning on KCNR 96.5 FM at 7 a.m. in the morning. Just want you to know that God has given us two ends, one to think with and one to sit on. And success in life depends on which one you use. It's heads you win and tails you lose. Come join me on The Flatline and learn about God's tremendous problem-solving device. 7 a.m. every Sunday morning, 96.5 FM, KCNR.
Premier, your friendly oil change. Premier in all we do.
Premier Oil Change has been locally owned and operated since we opened in 2006, enjoying long-term relationships with our team members and loyal guests. Many of our team members have worked with us for over 10 years. Many of our certified technicians have logged over 30,000 oil changes, working on hundreds of different vehicle makes and models. In an ever-changing world, we strive to keep up with change with our extensive training program. It's important to the staff at Premier Oil Change that our customers' cars are well taken care of by experienced, well-trained technicians. So you can depend on your vehicle to get you and your family to your destination. Don't forget that you can earn free oil changes with Premier Rewards. Learn more at PremierOilChange.com or visit us in Palo Cedro. Premier is in the Holiday Market Shopping Center or in Reading on Lake Boulevard next to Waterworks Park or our newest location in Anderson across from Roundtable. Remember, you get a free car wash with every oil change. Premier Oil Change, home of the friendly oil change.
REU, along with more than 2,000 utilities across the country, is not for profit and is publicly owned by our customers. This year, REU is celebrating 101 years of serving the city of Reading. October 2nd through the 8th is Public Power Week, when we celebrate the benefits of living and working in a public power community. These benefits include safe, reliable, and affordable electric service to residents and businesses. REU takes pride in providing excellent service, engaging with our customers, and working for our community.
American Lung Association.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So we are going through all of the accomplishments of Queen Elizabeth II. One of her biggest accomplishments was attempting to reunify the UK after all of the chaos in Ireland. She famously in 2011 visited Ireland. The Ireland Independent today has a good piece about this. It says she will long be remembered for wowing the entire Irish nation with a simple head bow at the Garden of Remembrance in May 2011 to heroes who died fighting her country's army. That moment of symbolism was enhanced by some superbly well-chosen words later at Dublin Castle. And then, of course, she gave a speech in the middle of COVID that was, I think, really comforting to a huge number of people across the world, not just in Great Britain, in the middle of time of global turmoil. Here was the Queen of England talking about COVID and its impact on her country.
I'm speaking to you at what I know is an increasingly challenging time, a time of disruption in the life of our country, a disruption that has brought grief to some, financial difficulties to many, and enormous changes to the daily lives of us all. I hope in the years to come, everyone will be able to take pride in how they responded to this challenge. And those who come after us will say the Britons of this generation were as strong as any, that the attributes of self-discipline, of quiet, good-humoured resolve, and of fellow feeling still characterise this country. The pride in who we are is not a part of our past. It defines our present and our future. We should take comfort.
Okay, so I mean, it was those sorts of values that she represented, right? The sort of quiet, solid belief in eternal values over the course of time. The sort of British stiff upper lip, the idea that you can take on challenge. Right? All those things are what she symbolized. The backlash to her death materialized immediately. I mean, not people who were anti her dying, people who were very pro her dying, as it turns out, which is just insane. I'm sorry, that is an extraordinary response to the death of a woman who literally had a symbolic role, and that symbolic role involved things like telling people to buck up under pressure, to understand their heritage, to believe in the values of democracy. So it came in a couple forms. One was the, okay, well, she's a queen, who cares? Whatever. You know, we're American, we fought the crown just so we wouldn't have to care about stuff like this. Okay, I get it. The reality is the monarchy of Britain right now is not anything remotely resembling the monarchy of Britain in the time of King George III. She had no political power. And this is something people ought to remind themselves, is that when they're yelling at Queen Elizabeth II, they're yelling at a person whose role is entirely symbolic. She had no political power in Britain. The United States fought King George III and Parliament in order to be free of the political power of King George III. But the truth is that apparently people have a need for royalty. In the United States, we've supplanted the idea of a symbolic leader who's like Queen Elizabeth II. We've supplanted that with a celebrity culture that is filled with babbling idiots who repeat whatever lines are put in front of them and apparently take their cultural cues and political cues from other television writers. And those are our royalty. Over here, our royalty is like Kim Kardashian and Jennifer Lawrence. Over in Britain, the royalty was, you know, Queen Elizabeth II. That's sort of a difference in kind. The human desire to look to symbolic leadership, it's still there. It doesn't disappear just because you get rid of the monarchy. The danger in the United States is when you actually start to identify the symbolic leadership with actual political power. That's how you end up with dictators. That's scary stuff. Again, her role was more like that of the American flag almost than it was like that of a political leader like a Joe Biden or a Donald Trump or something like that. So that was form number one that the backlash to her took, which is, she's the queen. Who cares? What's the other form that the backlash to her took was the British Empire was bad. And she was bad because the British Empire was bad. Understand that the folks who are saying this are people who are generally historically ignorant or people who fail the easy test of understanding context. People who seem to believe that the evils of the West are unique, but that its goods are universal, which is precisely the opposite of the truth. The opposite of the truth is that the evils that the British Empire visited upon the world, which were not insignificant, they're very real to literally millions of human beings, were accompanied by goods that were extraordinarily unique to billions of people around the world, and that those evils that the British Empire visited upon people were certainly not unique to the British Empire. They are unique human those are universal human evils that exist in the human heart. Pretending that the Brits were the only people who were attempting to expand empire at the time of the British Empire is idiotic. It's historically ignorant. The Dutch Empire existed at the exact same time. The Spanish Empire existed at the exact same time. The French Empire existed at the exact same time. There were colonial attempts within Africa. There were colonial attempts from China. There are colonial attempts all over the world. The question is, what distinguished the British Empire from, say, the Russian Empire? What distinguished the British Empire from the other empires on Earth that were competing with the British Empire? And there, you have to say that the overwhelming legacy of the British Empire is good. And I know these are difficult words for people to hear. This does not mean that colonialism overall is a good. It does not mean there are no costs to colonialism. It does not mean that countries should seek colonies. It does not mean it was a good thing for Great Britain to have started implanting forms of government and in many cases discriminatory and terrible in places like Africa. It does mean that if you're going to rip on the British Empire wholeheartedly, then you at least ought to acknowledge some of the benefits of the British Empire. The things that I'm always just amused to watch people who are living off the legacy of Western institutions like the British Crown. then turn around and say, well, they're universally terrible. That's not the way this goes. So, for example, there's a professor named Uju Anya who tweeted out, I heard the chief monarch of a thieving, raping, genocidal empire is finally dying. May her pain be excruciating. Which is just a delightful sentiment. This person's tweet was deleted by Twitter, which shouldn't have happened, by the way. Twitter shouldn't be deleting tweets. In fact, I think it's good that people leave tweets like that up so we can all stare agog at their stupidity. This person is a professor at Carnegie Mellon University. Quote, that wretched woman and her bloodthirsty throne have effed generations of my ancestors on both sides of the family. She supervised the government that sponsored the genocide. My parents and siblings survived. May she die in agony. It should F you and your deference to genocidal colonizers. Really, really nice stuff there. Carnegie Mellon sent out a statement saying, we do not condone the offensive and objectionable messages posted by Uju Anya today on her personal social media account. Free expression is core to the mission of higher education. The views she shared absolutely do not represent the values of the institution or the standards of discourse we seek to foster. I mean, honestly, back your lady. You're the ones who hired her. Now, those sentiments are worth discussing for a second. Again, this deep-seated hatred for Queen Elizabeth II, which is really deep-seated hatred for the British Empire. Already coming up, we are still going through Queen Elizabeth II's life. Plus, I want to get to the left's hatred for Queen Elizabeth II, which is kind of shocking. It's the Ben Shapiro Show.
Hey, KCNR listeners, it's Nathan with the Reading Civic Auditorium. Have you been to ReadingCivic.com lately? I want to shout out huge thanks to all of our patrons throughout the North State who buy tickets to our shows and attend the valuable community events that happen in the auditorium every year. These past 10 years of momentum have been absolutely incredible. Thanks to all of you. Your support and confidence in Advanced Reading has made the impossible possible. As a community who knows how to pull together and show ourselves strong, we have successfully attracted high-quality entertainers and major concert promoters back into the building and put your Reading Civic Auditorium on the map once again. Arts and entertainment culture is thriving, and we have much to celebrate. Never miss a show again. Visit ReadingCivic.com and sign up for our emails for exclusive pre-sale access. We have an unbelievable lineup with new shows being added all the time. Hit ReadingCivic.com today. You'll be glad you did. Shows are always more fun at the Civic.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Common Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide three delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
Whether you're squeezing in that last-minute summer vacation, taking the kids back to school shopping, or even back to school, don't forget to stop by Quick and Clean Car Wash at Market and Eureka Way in downtown Reading. With car wash packages starting at only $9. Or buy 5 car wash coupons, get 1 free. Or buy 10 car wash coupons and get 3 free. Stop by Quick and Clean Car Wash at Market and Eureka Way in downtown Reading. Quick and clean.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Do you have a crazy schedule and can't seem to get to a class to qualify for your CCW, CCW renewal, or maybe learn to use that new firearm you just purchased? Consider a private class with NFI. Learn to shoot a handgun, rifle, shotgun, or even a BB gun. Classes are taught by an instructor that you choose on your dates and location. Give NFI a call at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and I'll see you at the range.
a jewel of the North State, a place we love to go and love being members.
The view, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
Go in and meet the friendly staff today or go to their website at riverviewgolf.net and find out about their introductory memberships.
Riverview Golf and Country Club, corporate, social, tennis, fitness, and golf. Get it all. Become a member.
It's affordable and fun. Riverview Golf and Country Club.
Hey, it's time for the Iron Soldier Ride again. I'm Rob Burrows from Homeward Bound Military Family Support Services. The Iron Soldier Ride is Sunday, October 2nd. This tradition, started by Redding Yamaha Sea-Doo, is proudly carried on by California Custom Trailers, Power Sports, and Marine on Twin View Boulevard in Redding. To be a sponsor of this fun event, call 530-275-7300. Riders, registration is in the store only. All motorcycles are welcome. $40 registration in advance. 45 day of, you get t-shirt guaranteed on the day of the event. Plus scenic ride, swag, lunch, games, and prizes. Register in person today. Learn more about the registration or sponsorship at 530-275-7300. All proceeds provide holiday meals for military families and post 9/11 veterans in need, as well as care packages for our troops. Sign up today at California Custom, 1936 Twin View Boulevard. Call today, 530-275-7300.
Nine.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So Queen Elizabeth II has died. We are going through her life and her legacy. There's a piece in the New York Times that makes sort of the same point. There's a person named Maya Jasanoff, a professor of history at Harvard. She has a piece titled Mourn the Queen, Not Her Empire. And here's what she says. Quote, the end of an era will become a refrain as commentators assess the record-setting reign of Queen Elizabeth II. Like all monarchs, she was both an individual and an institution. She had a different birthday for each role, the actual anniversary of her birth in April, plus an official one in June. And though she retained her personal name as monarch, held different titles depending on where in her domains she stood. She was as devoid of opinions and emotions in public as her ubiquitous handbags were said to be of everyday items like a wallet, keys, and phone. Of her inner life, we learned little beyond her love of horses and dogs. Well, maybe that's because she actually fulfilled her duty. Her personal life was simply secondary. The Queen embodied a profound, sincere commitment to her duties. Her final public act was to appoint her 15th prime minister. That's an amazing tenure, by the way. The first prime minister she appointed was Winston Churchill. And for her unflagging performance of them, she will be rightly mourned. She has been a fixture of stability, and her death in already turbulent times will send ripples of sadness around the world. But we should not romanticize her era. For the Queen was also an image, the face of a nation that during the course of her reign witnessed the dissolution of nearly the entire British Empire into some 50 independent states and significantly reduced global influence. By design, as much as by accident of her long life, her presence as head of state and head of the Commonwealth, an association of Britain and its former colonies, put a stolid traditionalist front over decades of violent upheaval. As such, the Queen helped obscure a bloody history of decolonization, whose proportions and legacies have yet to be adequately acknowledged. So you blame her for colonization, you also blame her for decolonization. This columnist says Elizabeth became queen of a post-war Britain where sugar was still rationed and rubble from bomb damage still being cleared away. Journalists and commentators promptly cast the 25-year-old as a phoenix rising into a new Elizabethan age. An inevitable analogy, perhaps an appointed one, the first Elizabethan age in the second half of the 16th century marked England's emergence from a second-tier European state to an ambitious overseas power. Elizabeth II grew up in a royal family whose significance in the British Empire had swollen even as its political authority shrank at home. The monarchy ruled an ever-lengthening list of crown colonies, including Hong Kong, India, and Jamaica. By the way, how's Hong Kong doing now that Britain is no longer involved? Has that been a real boon for the people of Hong Kong? I haven't seen it. Queen Victoria, proclaimed Empress of India in 1876, presided over flamboyant celebrations of imperial patriotism. Her birthday was enshrined from 1902 as Empire Day. In 1947, then Princess Elizabeth celebrated her 21st birthday on a royal tour in South Africa. That's that speech that we quoted earlier. She was on tour in Kenya when she learned of her father's death. She presided again over a very long period of time. But the idea here from this columnist is that the British Empire was almost an unalloyed bad. She says, what you never know from the pictures is the violence that lies behind them. In 1948, the colonial governor of Malaya declared a state of emergency to fight communist guerrillas, and British troops used counterinsurgency tactics the Americans would emulate in Vietnam. Well, yeah, it turns out that communist guerrillas are bad. In 1952, the governor of Kenya imposed a state of emergency to suppress an anti-colonial movement known as Mau Mau, under which the British rounded up tens of thousands of Kenyans into detention camps and subjected them to brutal systematized torture. The Mau Mau revolution was quite a bad thing. That does not justify human rights violations, but can we not pretend that the people the British were fighting were just wonderful, liberty-minded folks? In Cyprus in 1955 and aid in Yemen in 1963, British governors again declared states of emergency to contend with anti-colonial attacks. Again, they tortured civilians. Again, You can't pretend that colonialism was an unalloyed good, but stop pretending that the British Empire was an unalloyed bad. The only reason why there are so many people on the left who are apparently sanguine about the death of Queen Elizabeth II is because this is the way they see the civilization. And this is what Jemele Hill, who can be counted on for any form of foolishness, she tweeted out yesterday, quote, "Journalists are tasked with putting legacies into full context, so it's entirely appropriate to examine the Queen and her role in the devastating impact of continued colonialism." Continued. Like, as in today. Is it possible that maybe countries that were decolonized in the 1960s at a certain point should take credit for, you know, the way that they are being run right now? Meanwhile, Richard Stengel over on MSNBC was doing the same routine. He's talking about how, you know, this we need to examine the failings of the British Empire, etc.
I have to say, to your earlier question, why are American news networks dedicating all of this time to Queen Elizabeth's funeral? I think it's a good question. I mean, I think it's something. There's a weakness in the American character that still yearns for that era of hereditary privilege, which is the very thing that we escaped from.
It was hereditary privilege that were, or alternatively, she was a person who stood, again, for things that many Westerners would like to see restored and emulated. And I don't mean colonialism. I mean the simple fact that you are supposed to brave struggles, that you have to look to Judeo-Christian values as your guide. She was a religious person, Queen Elizabeth II. He also added, by the way, you played a clip of her speaking in Cape Town in 1947. That's the year apartheid took effect. British colonialism, which she presided over, had a terrible effect on much of the world. Okay, this is the core argument. The core argument that's made by Richard Stengel, that British colonialism was, again, an unalloyed bad. Let's just be real about this. Without the British Empire, the idea of liberty does not exist. It was the British Empire that ended slavery in the Western Hemisphere. It was the British Empire that fought the transatlantic slave trade. Okay, that was not happening in Africa. There's still slave trading happening in Africa and the Middle East right now. It was the British Empire that actively put resources behind the ending of slavery. It was the British Empire that instituted democratic protocols in virtually all of its subject lands. It was the British Empire that spread the idea of political pluralism. It was the British Empire that spread the idea of capitalism and free markets. These things did not exist. And pretending, this was one of the questions that was asked, you know, sort of frivolously. You know, the movie Black Panther, which has come up because it's come up in the context of colonialism. Ah, this is what Africa would look like if there had been no colonialism. Would it, though? I mean, really, like, these are serious. That's a serious question. Like, there's this sort of countervailing history that the left likes to portray, in which if Western people had never set, meaning like Europeans, had never set foot in other places on the globe, all the institutions of the West would just naturally have grown up there. Technology would have just appeared there. Like, extraordinary levels of political unity would have just happened. Is there a lot of evidence that this is the case? We'll get to more on this in just one second. First, using the internet without ExpressVPN, dumb idea. It's like leaving your laptop exposed at the coffee shop table while you run to the bathroom. Most of the time, probably fine. Then there's that one time that you come out and suddenly Merrick Garland is just sitting behind your keyboard. And you're like, what are you looking at? He's like, all your emails. You wouldn't do that in a coffee shop. So why exactly would you do that with your internet activity? Every time you connect to an unencrypted network at a cafe or a hotel or an airport, pretty much anybody on the same network can gain access to your personal data. And that data is really valuable. Hackers can make up to $1,000 per person selling your personal information on the dark web. So why use ExpressVPN? Well, it creates a secure encrypted tunnel between your device and the internet so hackers can't steal your sensitive data. Also, it's really easy to use. You fire up the app, you click one button, you're now protected, and it works on all your devices. We're talking phones, laptops, tablets, all of it. So, you should use ExpressVPN, because I do. Secure your online data today by visiting expressvpn.com/Ben Shapiro. That's ExpressVPN.com/Ben Shapiro. You can get an extra 3 months for free. ExpressVPN.com/Ben Shapiro. Secure your internet data today the same way that I do. ExpressVPN.com/Ben Shapiro. So, historian Neil Ferguson, who I quoted earlier this week, he wrote an entire book about the British Empire, in which he goes through all of the vicious brutalities of the British Empire. And again, there were many. The British Empire, as I say, was a mixed bag, because everything in life is a mixed bag. But here's what Neil Ferguson points out. Quote, without the spread of British rule around the world, it's hard to believe the structures of liberal capitalism would have been so successfully established in so many different economies around the world. Those empires that adopted alternative models, again, this is the thing. You can look and see that the rest of the world exists. When people look at the British and the British Empire and British values, when they look at those in a vacuum, when you look at anything in a vacuum, it looks bad. This is true of individual human beings, as it is of countries, as it is of empires. When you look at anything in a vacuum, it looks bad because it has bad things in it. But all politics, all of life is comparative. So when you look at the British Empire, you also have to say, okay, what are the alternatives? The Ottoman Empire, was that Is that a wonderful place? How about the Russian Empire? Was that really awesome? Is today's Chinese Empire really a great thing? Like, how's this, the German attempted empire multiple times. Was that wonderful? How about the Austro-Hungarian? Like, how were these empires going? Were they really that excellent? As Neil Ferguson says, those empires that adopted alternative models, the Russian and the Chinese, imposed incalculable misery on their subject peoples. Without the influence of British imperial rule, it's hard to believe that the institutions of parliamentary democracy would have been adopted by the majority of states in the world as they are today. India, the world's largest democracy, owes more than it is fashionable to acknowledge to British rule, which, by the way, is why the Indian government paid tribute to Elizabeth II after her death. Its elite schools, its universities, its civil service, its army, its press, and its parliamentary system all still have discernibly British models. Of course, no one would claim that the record of the British Empire was unblemished. On the contrary, says Neil Ferguson, I've tried to show how often it failed to live up to its own ideal of individual liberty, particularly in the early era of enslavement, transportation, and the ethnic cleansing of indigenous peoples. Yet the 19th century empire undeniably pioneered free trade, free capital movements, and, with the abolition of slavery, free labor. It invested immense sums in developing a global network of modern communications. It spread and enforced the rule of law over vast areas. Though it fought many small wars, the empire maintained a global peace unmatched before or since. In the 20th century, too, it more than justified its own existence, for the alternatives to British rule represented by the German and Japanese empires were clearly far worse. Without its empire, it is inconceivable Britain could have withstood them. But, you know, again, seeing politics in all of its shades of gray is something that people are simply incapable of doing. It's very difficult for folks to do that, to accept the bad along with the good. But even put all that aside, this is in the end, Elizabeth II was not a person responsible for either colonialism or decolonization. Elizabeth II was a symbolic figure, and it's precisely that symbol that people don't like. She's a symbol of a Western civilization that stands up for its own values and its own heritage, and that sees all the goods that it has produced over the course of time, and it celebrates those goods. That is what Elizabeth II represented. And so with her goes a chain in a link in that long chain of history. And what's taking over for it? I think a lot more drama. And I don't know what King Charles III is going to be like. According to the BBC, he'll be known as King Charles III. That was the first decision of the new king's reign. He could have chosen from any of his four names. He could have been Charles Philip Arthur or George. Prince William will not be automatically Prince of Wales. That will have to be conferred on him by his father. That, of course, is what is going to happen. William is going to be heir to the throne now. Apparently, Charles will be officially proclaimed king on Saturday. That's going to happen at St. James Palace in London. The king attends a second meeting of the Accession Council along with the Privy Council. It's not a swearing in at the start of a British monarch's reign in the style of some other heads of state like the president. Instead, there's a declaration made by the new king that he'll make an oath to preserve the Church of Scotland. And what is he actually going to be like as king? Nobody really knows. A lot of people have been dreading this because obviously Charles has led a rather interesting personal life. According to the Wall Street Journal, aides to King Charles, formerly Prince of Wales, have said the new monarch envisions a slimmed-down, lower-class royal family that remains at the center of Britain's national life. To do that, he must unite his family, as the House of Windsor is grappling with strained relationships. Well, yeah, it's now Queen Elizabeth II, the reason people liked her is because she wasn't Meghan Markle. It's because she wasn't using the royal throne as a sort of prop in her own political ambitions or her own attempt to build some sort of public-facing image. His first task will be to lead a country in mourning as it comes to terms with the death of Queen Elizabeth. He's expected to address the nation on Friday and then later tour it. King Charles only has a 42% approval rating. Palisades said they expect his popularity to rise as the country grows accustomed to him in the role of king. He is the oldest person to ascend to the British throne because he is taking over well into his... How old is he at this point, King Charles III? He's 73, and he's taking over for his mom, which demonstrates how long his mom was the monarch. As prince, Charles is more than willing to use his status to push for change, particularly on issues related to the environment and climate. In the past, he's written to British government ministers to lobby on subjects ranging from the plight of the Patagonian toothfish to the dominance of big chain supermarkets. He's designed his own town and launched a brand of organic food. Officials say that King Charles will step back but not totally abandon those campaigning ways. He will be a convener king, said an aide, who added the king intends to use his contacts to bring people together to solve problems. Some say the prince was right to use his time waiting to become king to push for change. Some of his campaigns have proven far-sighted, according to others, because, of course, he's been big in the green movement. But again, this is not really his job, right? His job is to be symbolically uniting the nation. Again, the West needs more symbols that unite and fewer sort of cheap political leaders who divide. We'll get to more of this in just a moment, but first a word from our partners at Noble Gold.
NobleGoldInvestments.com. Inflation is real, and the rate only seems to be going upwards. Soon, $1 million in your retirement account won't even last as long as you need it. Look, you need to store the value of your money, and you need to do it fast. The solution is NobleGoldInvestments.com. A precious metals IRA acts like a shield for inflation. Noble Gold specializes in storing the value of your wealth through gold IRAs, so they're truly a natural choice for your retirement portfolio. Act now, and with any qualified purchase, mention the word silver, and you'll get a 3-ounce silver American Virtue coin. You heard right. Just mention the word silver, and you'll get a 3-ounce silver American Virtue coin. Don't let inflation affect you or your retirement one more day. Visit NobleGoldInvestments.com today. That's NobleGoldInvestments.com. Investment involves risk. Past performance is no guarantee of future results.
Already coming up. The United States, we rejected monarchy, right? We don't like kings and queens, so we just now elect our monarchs and then we treat them like kings and queens. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Join Turtle Bay and Dutch Bros Coffee on Thursday, September 22nd for Caffeinate for a Cause. From 7 to 9 a.m. and 2 to 4 p.m., $1 from all drink sales and tips given to our honorary baristas go towards supporting Turtle Bay's educational programs. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
Hi, this is Chuck Kenny with Shasta Gas Propane. It's been a while since I've cut a new radio spot, but I feel I need to issue a warning about energy prices during this fall winter of 2021 and 22. Just as Obama said after he was elected, elections have consequences. This winter, our country will suffer some of the consequences of the last election. I'm not a politician, but I am a businessman, and many of the decisions of this current administration will drastically affect energy prices this winter and going forward. Already we are experiencing record high propane costs and prices. Remember, our motto at Shasta Gas Propane is, our customers are warm friends. We will treat you like friends this winter and do our best to help you through this high price winter. Give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill we all have to pay? The time has come. 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
Hi friends, RC here with Tobacco and Brew. This month's cigar of the humidor is La Unica Dominican Primeros. Premium shade-grown Connecticut wrappers combined with a long filler blend of aged Cuban seed Dominican tobaccos, providing a smooth, mellow to medium-bodied experience. It's a rich and balanced selection with subtle hints of nuts, cream, and fruit. La Unica Dominican Primeros. Tobacco and Brew, Redding, California.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
Join Turtle Bay and Dutch Bros Coffee on Thursday, September 22nd for Caffeinate for a Cause. From 7 to 9 a.m. and 2 to 4 p.m., $1 from all drink sales and tips given to our honorary baristas go towards supporting Turtle Bay's educational programs. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
Against, for example, the idiotic spectacle of the State of the Union Address. I hate the State of the Union Address. It's monarchic. It's more lavish than anything the royal family does. I mean, we spend more money on the president's vacations than the Brits spend on the royal family. In fact, our presidents aren't supposed to be like regular people. We elect dullards to the highest offices in the land, and then we treat them like monarchs. which is why I suppose Karine Jean-Pierre spent yesterday defending the fact that Joe Biden has been taking like 8 vacations every month.
17% of Americans have, according to this Gallup poll, have canceled vacations or traveled less. The president's been to his beach house 6 times this year. He's been to North and South Carolina on vacation. Has the president himself considered personally reducing his spending because of inflation, or had the administration reduce spending?
So can I'll say this. The times that the president has gone to Delaware, not including, and we were very clear that when he went to South Carolina in August and Rehoboth, he was going to go spend time with his family, which every president does. That is not unusual. That is not uncommon to do. And the president has a right to spend time with his family, just like every other American across the country.
Well, is every other American taking this many vacations from their job, where you're the most powerful person on the planet? Didn't know that. But again, the way that Americans see their politicians is essentially like royalty. We have a couple of royalty sort of oriented things that we in America like to do. We have our celebrity class. Those are royalty. And then we have our politicians who we treat like royalty. Both of these things are unbelievably stupid. The biggest problem is with treating our politicians like royalty, because when you do that, they actually start to act like kings, like old school kings. So the thing about the monarchy that used to be bad is the monarchy used to have actual power. Now the monarchy has no power in Britain. Okay, but when you unite celebrity worship with political power, what you end up with is the possibility of people using that extraordinary power in order to crack down on their political opponents. Today's perfect example of this, and it really is quite frightening, actually, is Kathy Hochul. So Kathy Hochul is the governor of New York, and she tweeted out a couple of days ago, quote, "Everyone needs to do their part to combat gun violence. American Express, MasterCard, and Visa should categorize firearm purchases and flag a suspicious activity, just like they do for millions of other transactions. Together, we can help stop gun trafficking and keep New Yorkers safe." So again, the idea here is that now your credit card company is supposed to keep tabs on you if you exercise your Second Amendment rights. And this is part and parcel of a broader left-wing attempt to basically cudgel corporate America into doing their bidding, using ESG to tell energy companies that they need to stop drilling for oil and natural gas, for example. Attempting to get credit card companies to remove NRA giveaways and breaks that you get on your credit card because the NRA is super, super bad. The unbanking of large swaths of the American public that the left would really, really like to see. That sort of stuff is scary. Again, when you unite worship of government with powerful government figures, you end up with some really negative stuff. And if you're talking about things that are capable of splitting apart a polity, that would be it. Once politicians start using the auspices of private business in order to shut down their political opposition, that's truly frightening stuff. And by the way, this applies on the left as well as the right. Like I mentioned before, that there's this idiot professor from Carnegie Mellon University who was putting out this tweet about how she hoped for that Queen Elizabeth II suffered on her deathbed. Well, that tweet was taken down by Twitter. That's not something Twitter should be doing. When you have private corporations that are basically acting as censors, that is not a good thing. Quote unquote free speech corporations that are doing the bidding of, it's not good when Mark Zuckerberg goes on Joe Rogan and admits that the FBI basically asked him to quash the Hunter Biden story. That sort of stuff is not worthy of a great republic. But more and more, we don't have a great republic so much. In order to sort of restore that, we're going to have to restore some of the common bonds and common vision that made America unique. So actually, I do have one piece of good news today. So, you know, remember a couple of weeks ago, I went over to Podcast Movement in Dallas. It's sort of personal piece of good news, but I think it has some larger consequences for the American public debate. So you'll remember that it was a national news story because I went over to this conference called Podcast Movement. We had bought a booth over there and I just walked the floor. I happened to be in town for actually another event and my people were like, do you want to come in? Do you want to say hello? I went and I walked the floor a little bit. And Podcast Movement then put out this abject apology for my presence. They said that my very presence, my very existence was threatening to some people and they couldn't, and they regretted the harm that it had caused. Well, yesterday, finally, they decided that they were going to back off of that. So they put out a statement suggesting that they were apologizing for that. They said, quote, as we stated, we're continuing to evaluate our policies and guiding social media and events with inclusivity, diversity, and respect for all. We have to start by sincerely apologizing to Mr. Shapiro for our reaction when he visited a booth we sold his company. That wasn't right. So that is a good sign. That's a good sign for America. When people back off of censorious viewpoints, that is a very good. In fact, this may be the first time I've actually seen a significant company back off in Censoria's viewpoint thanks to blowback from people, not just on the right, but in the center. The people who said this is ridiculous. You can't do this. You can't just call yourself a sort of pro-free speech, pro-diversity of viewpoint event and then ban the biggest podcaster on the political right and the biggest political podcast in the country. You can't do that. And so good for podcast movement. Again, no hard feelings. That's the way this works. If you do the right thing, then we praise you. And if you do the wrong thing, then we smack you. And podcast movement backed off. And I think that that actually is a good sign for the country. Because, again, if we're going to have any shared values, one of those values has to be the ability of people to speak freely on a variety of political topics, even if we disagree with them. I know that that's a hard one for many people on the left, but it also happens to be incredibly valuable. So whenever there's a victory in the business sphere about that, as we just saw with podcast movement, that is worthy of praise. And thanks also to our allies and our business partners over at Cumulus, who had essentially told podcast movement they continued along these lines. They were going to pull their money and they would stop sponsoring podcast movement. Good for podcast movement for recognizing the failure of the principles that they had suggested they actually believed in. And I'm glad that they've reverted back to a more free speech appropriate attitude. You're listening to The Ben Shapiro Show.
Hiring? You need ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter's powerful technology finds qualified candidates for you and invites them to apply. Try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/hire.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Tayshia Stevens. British Prime Minister Liz Truss addresses a session of Parliament following the death of Queen Elizabeth II. Truss says the United Kingdom is at a pause.
On the death of her father, King George VI, Winston Churchill said the news had stilled the clatter and traffic of 20th century life in many lands. Now, 70 years later, in the tumult of the 21st century, life has paused again.
King Charles III says his family and nation owe a debt to his mother.
Queen Elizabeth was a life well lived, a promise with destiny kept. And she is mourned most deeply in her passing. That promise of lifelong service I renew to you all today.
The future of energy supplies to Europe has been discussed at an EU ministers' meeting.
Summer is pretty much over in most of Europe, and as temperatures cool and winter approaches, people are bracing themselves for an unprecedented rise in their gas and electricity bills, and this presents a headache for those who govern them. Some countries favour putting a cap on the amount paid to Russia for its gas. Others want to tax any excess profits made by power generators and use the money to subsidize household bills. Achieving consensus at today's European Union meeting won't be easy, nor will implementing whatever measures are decided on.
BBC correspondent Paul Moss reporting. The U.S. Department of Health and Human Services is making $35 million available in grants to Native Americans. It's an effort to help implement a nationwide 988 mental health crisis hotline. The announcement Friday came after federal officials visited pueblos in New Mexico to hear from the communities about their health care needs. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Be thanked for pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story.
How long does it take to tackle a home project? With Angie, you could cross it off your list before this ad is over. Just tell us what you need, indoor, outdoor, repair, or redesign, and we handle the rest, sending a top pro to get it done. You don't have to lift a finger, except to tap the screen or click the mouse. Plus, Angie is free to use. So bring us your next home project, and we'll bring it home. Download the app or go to Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com to get started.
Republican Herschel Walker takes the lead in the U.S. Senate race in Georgia. Bob Agnew reports.
The latest Emerson College polling survey has good news for Republicans in Georgia. It shows Walker leading his opponent, Democrat incumbent Raphael Warnock, 46-44%. That despite recent media reports casting doubt on the strength of Walker's campaign. The poll also has incumbent Republican Governor Brian Kemp leading Democrat challenger Stacey Abrams, 48-44%. Bob Agnew reporting.
Well, Friday kicked off Fashion Week in New York City. More than 100 designers will be showing off their 2023 spring and summer collections. A collar belonging to the late Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg is up for auction. The gold judicial collar, made of glass beads, will benefit a children's charity. The auction house estimates that the value of the collar is anywhere between $3,000 and $5,000. News and analysis at townhall.com. A federal report says nursing homes and debt collectors are flouting a law that prohibits them from requiring friends and family of care home residents to be responsible for the cost of the facility.
The Consumer Financial Protection Bureau says friends and family members have had to declare bankruptcy, had their wages garnished, and their homes repossessed for unpaid nursing home costs. That's after they signed unenforceable contracts called admission agreements with nursing home facilities, resulting in them being held liable as third parties for their loved ones' nursing home stays. The Nursing Home Reform Act prevents facilities from requiring a person other than the resident to assume personal responsibility for any cost of the resident's care. I'm Norman Hall.
An increase in complaints led the agency to send a letter to nursing homes and their debt collectors reminding them that they should follow the law. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Hi, this is Chuck Kenny with Shasta Gas Propane. It's been a while since I've cut a new radio spot, but I feel I need to issue a warning about energy prices during this fall winter of 2021 and 22. Just as Obama said after he was elected, elections have consequences. This winter, our country will suffer some of the consequences of the last election. I'm not a politician, but I am a businessman, and many of the decisions of this current administration will drastically affect energy prices this winter and going forward. Already we are experiencing record high propane costs and prices. Remember, our motto at Shasta Gas Propane is, our customers are warm friends. We will treat you like friends this winter and do our best to help you through this high price winter. Give us a call at 365-3793. That's
365-3793. Down in Antarctica, a doomsday glacier is disintegrating faster than previously thought. Okay, that's terrifying. We've actually known how bad this could get for a while now. Here's how Bill Nye explained it at the end of last year.
This would be catastrophic. A place like Florida would be, in southern Florida, would be underwater.
Oh, no. Not southern Florida. That's where we keep our top secret files.
Yes. It's, what were the good words there? Terrifying, catastrophic, and what, the Doomsday Glacier. It's the Doomsday Glacier. They are, they're a Doomsday cult. They're Jonestown. I played the audio for you the other day from the documentary on the Jonestown Guiana death cult. Looking for a socialist utopia. And all of the talking points of Jim Jones were the same talking points the Democrat Party is using today. It's kind of amazing, isn't it?
The earth is on fire, and we're all going to die soon.
There are very, very few days left. The clock is ticking out loud. It's like Marissa Tomei's biological clock. You can hear it from here. Doomsday is around the corner. Southern Florida, they hate states. Have you noticed this? They hate Texas and they hate Florida. It's a hate cult. It really is. If you're a Democrat, where do you find the bile for all the hate that is required of you? I don't understand. And I don't have that much adrenaline, I think, to hate that much. But you guys, you know, you get the job done. You're,
You're haters for the ages. Well, happy Friday to you, and welcome those. You know, as you know, the sound bites that are played are normally a complete surprise to me. And that one was, these crazy people. They are nuts. Stephen Colbert. What? Where'd he go? Nobody knows. They got that it's the doomsday. It's the doomsday glacier. It's melting faster than, and only Florida, only their political enemies will be flooded. It's just amazing, isn't it? They're a psycho death cult. They make the, like, Charles Manson gang look relatively level-headed. You know, they were all about a race war, too. I say too, because that's what the Democratic Party is all about, is a race war. And so they got really more in common with Charles Manson and the Manson gang, and with Jim Jones and the Guyana Jonestown death cult, than they have in common with your average mainstream American. It's a remarkable thing. Well. Look who fell in the well. I yesterday on the big radio broadcast, I was talking to you about how Queen Elizabeth II was at death's door, and that the news media coverage had become a death watch. That's what they call it, a death watch. And that members of the royal family, such as they are, were boarding private jets to go to Scotland, which is like their own country, and went up to go north, you get to Glasgow. Went up to the Queen's favorite, is it an estate or a palace? I think it might be an estate. And they were going up to visit, to be at, her side, because she was not doing well at the age of 96. And very sadly, she passed away a short time after we wrapped up the big radio broadcast yesterday. And now, Great Britain and the Commonwealth countries, they have King Chuck III. No relation to Chunk Todd, I'm happy to report, although they have some physical characteristics in common. But now King Charles III, King Charles III, is the King of England and, Lord Protector of the Commonwealth or something like that. I don't really do British royal family stuff. But I've got to say, we were talking about it yesterday. You know, the Queen kind of grew on me over time. I grew up making fun of her like everybody else. And it turned out she was kind of a solid old bird. She was steady. Her family's a complete train wreck, of course. You know, her kids and the grandkids, they got that whole Princess Diana thing, and that didn't go very well, did it? But that's because she married a ferret. If she had not married a ferret, might have gone differently. And if he had just kind of, behaved like an adult, but that's another thing for another day. Now he's the king, and he's got, what are they going to call it? The queen consort. I mean, she's not really the queen, but the king is consorting with her. And her name is, what's her name? Kamala? Is it Kamala? It's Camilla. So wait, now their new number two is Camilla, and our number two is Kamala? Is that? Let's call the whole thing off. You say Camilla, and we say Kamala. It's the royal family. So, King Charles, and he's blazing around in one of his mother's big Rolls Royces today in merry old England. Merry old England. And honestly, the Queen, God bless her, 96 years old, from World War II. She wasn't Queen during World War II, but she did, jump in, got into uniform, and was, like in the motor pool or something, and working, driving fun vehicles and working on engines and things during World War II as a young woman. And then she became queen in 1952 when her father died. She was in Kenya at the time, which is in Africa, and used to be part of that whole British colonial thing. Now, you got these lefties attacking her and wishing her a slow, agonizing, painful death, because the left is a hate cult, and they love death more than you love life. They're worse than ISIS and Al-Qaeda. But this professor, you see this professor woman with the hate thing? She really hates. She's good at hating, but she's a professor. and a bunch of other lefties jumped in. Actually, Jeff Bezos jumped in and said, well, that wasn't very polite by you, that nasty thing that you put out there. And then a bunch of other lefties jumped and said, yeah, man, colonialism, man, bad. If you don't like colonialism, you should love the United States of America. But they hate colonialism, and they hate America, too. Doesn't make any sense. They love criminals. They hate the police. And now these gang of lefties and this alleged professor, Twitter pulled the headline from the Daily Mail. Twitter pulls vile tweet by critical race theory professor, typical African racist, mocking the dying queen. And it's Uju Anya. Yeah, people named Uju probably shouldn't be throwing stones, I'm thinking. She tweeted, I heard the chief monarch of a thieving, raping, genocidal empire is finally dying. May her pain be excruciating. That's what she said. Because, you know, give a lefty a Twitter account, and this is what you're guaranteed to get. This is what you get, because the left hates, the left kills, the left murders, the left steals, the left spreads hatred, and they spend their vile bile. That's it. We could do a rap song later on. We wrote a song yesterday. We maybe write another song today. We'll have to see. Chuck, King Chuck, I've been calling him Prince Chuck for so long, it's going to take a moment for me to adapt to King Chuck. And I told you yesterday that I met Chuck one time. Now he's the King of England. He wasn't the King then, but I met the man who's now the King of England. And, you know, he becomes King as soon as, Queen Elizabeth II became Queen in 1952, when her father died unexpectedly, as opposed to expectedly. And she wasn't coronated until 1953. Big coronation, fancy hat, cape, big church, the whole thing. Music, you know, marching up and down the yard, all kinds of good stuff. But you become the monarch as soon as if you're in line and first in line. And you become the monarch as soon as the living monarch dies. So Chuck is now the king. And even though he hasn't been coronated yet, he'll be coronated later, but he's already the king. See how that goes? It's kind of like being president-elect, except, you know, you're already the president. They don't wait around for the ceremony. Then they have the ceremony later for ceremonial reasons, perhaps, like that. But Chuck is now live in London, arrived at Buckingham Palace, as they call it. And he got out of the Rolls Royce and went over to shake hands with the nice people. In England, people brought flowers and things because overall people are nice, not lefties. Lefties are nasty, vicious, murderous, bloodthirsty ghouls, as everyone knows. And they murdered 100 million people in the 20th century. And they haven't gone away. They're still here. In fact, boy, they've sunk their teeth into the Democratic Party, haven't they? So again, into some of this Queen stuff. But yeah, I met Chuck. I filled him in on some of the things about the cathedral. I knew he was a fan of architecture. And I walked over to him at Ronald Reagan's funeral. I saw him standing there. He was by himself. He had a little minion with him. A little, obsequious royal strap hanger who was quivering next to then Crown Prince Charles. And nobody was talking to him. And there were several pews in the Washington National Cathedral with nobody in them. And there's Chuck standing along the aisle. I think he showed up early. He wanted to get an aisle seat. And he's standing there with the little fella who was his horse holder. And I walked over. I just made a beeline. I was there with my friend Christy, who actually invited me to the funeral and brought me to the funeral. Otherwise, I wouldn't have been there. And I was standing there with Christy, and I said, oh, there's Prince Chuck. I said, we should go over and say hello. And she said, I'm not going over and say hello. I said, come on. I, like, tugged her elbow. I said, let's go over and say hello to Chuck. And she's like, you go over and say hello to Chuck. And I said, okay. So I walked right up like it was my house. And as I walked up to him, I'm thinking, oh, I have no idea how to address him or what to call him. Right? And as I was about two steps away and moving pretty quick, nobody around, the place was starting to fill up. And I'm doing my hand gesture like this. As I walked up, I was starting to extend my right hand to shake his hand. And it occurred to me, I don't know what to call him. So I was thinking real fast, I'm thinking. So what do you call this guy? You call him, hey, Chuck. You know, what's up, Chuck? What do you say? And as I was extending my hand to shake his hand, generally the British don't walk up and shake the hands of the royals, but we're Americans. We defeated them in two wars, and then we saved them in three more. So I'm going to shake his hand, and I walked up, and it occurred to me as he was turning, and his hands were clasped behind him, you know, as European hands often are, and as I walked, just as I'm extending my hand, it occurs to me, I think you're supposed to call him Royal Highness. Like, you know, is it Your Highness? I think, oh, no, he's the next in line to the crown, so I think you call him Royal Highness. So I extended my hand, and I said, Royal Highness, how are you? And he turns, and he unclasped his hands behind his back, and he extended his right hand, and I shook his hand, a hearty hand clasp. I shook his hand, and I said, something like, I was like I was the official greeting committee all of a sudden. And I said, very happy that you could be here for President Reagan's funeral. And he said, I didn't know what else to say, so I just said that. It's not like I came prepared or something. And he said, I wouldn't miss it. He says, one of the most important figures of the 20th century. One of the most important figures of the 20th century. I said, yes, he was. I agreed wholeheartedly. And I kind of looked around at our cathedral, which, was built in the 20th century. Their cathedrals tend to be much older, right? And like the Canterbury Cathedral and things. And I said, and I know that he's an architecture guy. Why I knew that, I don't know. But I knew that. And I said, have you been to our cathedral before? And he looked up, and his hands were clasped behind his back again. No, it's my first time here. And I said, well, it's new, but we like it. That's how this is true. This is what I said. I said, well, it's new, but we like it. And I looked around, and I said, you're doubtless aware that the pulpit. Right, and I'm extending my hand now like I did then. I pointed at the pulpit, which in the National Cathedral, the Washington National Cathedral, the Cathedral of St. Peter and St. Paul, is called the Canterbury Pulpit. And I said, well, you're aware of we have the Canterbury Pulpit here. And he looked at and he looked quite surprised, and he looked at it, and then he looked down at his little minion, and his little minion shrunk into the ground like Margaret Hamilton after a bucket of water was thrown on her, just shrunk into the ground. And it was obvious that this guy was supposed to brief him and didn't on some of these fun facts. I said, well, it's the Canterbury Pulpit because the stone used to carve the pulpit was a gift from the Archbishop of Canterbury, someone who I believe you know, I said, because like the Archbishop of Canterbury basically works for the royal family. And he said, no, I didn't know that. Said, yes, we appreciate it. I said, I was being a little tongue in cheek. But the Canterbury Pulpit, and I said, and Martin Luther King, the Reverend Martin Luther King, delivered his last sermon from that pulpit. And he said, no, I didn't know that. He didn't know any of that. And I said, and again, he looked at his little minion who was shrinking into the stone floor. And I took my right hand, I made a fist, extended my arm, and I knocked him on the left shoulder with the side of my fist and said, glad I could help. Glad I could help. I pointed out, I said, also the cathedra, in this case, stone seat where the bishop sits for ceremonial events, I said that also was a gift from a cathedral in Great Britain. I don't know the name of that cathedral. And really, really, so didn't know. Say, yeah. Well, glad I got help. Thanks for showing up. And now stick with me. I was done with him, so I made a beeline over to Mikhail Gorbachev, and started talking to him. And I walked up to him and shook his hand and said, hey, Mr. General Secretary, which is his title with the Communist Party. instead of calling him Mr. President, because, you know, he was a communist. So that was a different thing altogether. We're at 888-630-9625.
There's only one Chris Plant. The Chris Plant Show.
Need new hires for fall before summer ends? You need Indeed. Their hiring solution helps you attract, interview, and hire. Sponsor a job and instantly receive a short list of candidates whose resumes on Indeed match your job description. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
Cashback is not available on gas in New Jersey and Wisconsin.
Susan, I'm sorry I'm late. Traffic is terrible.
It sure is. But on top of that, gas prices have been skyrocketing. I can't believe how expensive gas has gotten recently.
Prices at the pump are up, but I never pay full price for gas anymore. I just use the free Upside app that pays you cash back for every gallon of gas you buy.
Wait a minute. Are you saying you actually get paid cash when you buy gas with the Upside app?
Yes, I get real cash back every time I buy gas.
And does that actually add up to anything?
I've made around $200.
Wow. Wow, that's serious extra cash. I'm downloading the free Upside app now.
Download the free Upside app to earn real cash back every time you buy gas. Use promo code LUCK for an extra 25 cents per gallon cash back on your first fill up. You can cash out anytime right to your bank account, to PayPal, or any gift card for Amazon and other brands. Just download the free Upside app and use promo code LUCK for a 25 cents per gallon bonus on your first tank. That's code LUCK for 25 cents per gallon cash back on your first fill up.
Dak Prescott here. Why do I choose proven quality sleep from Sleep Number? Because better sleep elevates my game. Only my Sleep Number 360 smart bed helps me fall asleep faster, keeps me cool, and effortlessly adjusts for my best sleep. The result? 28 minutes more restful sleep a night. That's more focus, more edge, and more highlights. And that means more wins for all of us.
Don't miss the final days of the biggest sale of the year. Save 50% on the Sleep Number 360 limited edition smart bed. Ends Monday. To learn more, go to sleepnumber.com. Sleep Number, the official sleep and wellness partner of the NFL.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Dell Technologies semi-annual sale has arrived, and it's time to upgrade to the latest business technology. Save big on laptops and desktops with Windows 11 Pro. Plus, get amazing deals on server, storage, and cloud solutions, as well as top work accessories, including docks, monitors, and more. Dell Technologies recommends Windows 11 Pro for business. Call a Dell Technologies advisor at 877-ASK-DELL. That's 877-ASK-DELL for special business offers during our semi-annual sale.
Stay ahead of fall hiring needs with Indeed. Their end-to-end platform makes it easy to attract, interview, and hire candidates. Sponsor a job and instantly receive a short list of quality candidates whose resumes on Indeed match your job description. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
Message and data rates may apply.
Do you need a car? Been shopping only to be turned down because of bad credit, low credit, no credit, bankruptcy, or divorce? Guess what? Today's your lucky day, because now you can buy a car, truck, or SUV, just about any vehicle. It's true. Bad credit? Doesn't matter. No credit? Doesn't matter. Bankruptcy or divorce? It just doesn't matter. As a matter of fact, your job is your ticket to your new vehicle. We're Auto Credit Express, and we've helped thousands of people just like you. Antonio H. told us, great company, got me connected, and the day I went in, I drove off in the car I wanted. 100% worth your time. Need a car? Get started now, and drive off as early as today. Just text APPLY NOW to 88909 right now to get started. That's APPLY NOW to 88909. Auto financing the easy way. Text APPLY NOW to 88909.
If you're 19 or older with certain underlying medical conditions such as asthma or diabetes, you can get vaccinated against pneumococcal pneumonia, a potentially serious bacterial lung disease that can disrupt your life for weeks. If you're 65 or older, it is also recommended you get vaccinated against pneumococcal pneumonia. No matter the season, talk to your doctor about vaccination today and learn more at lung.org/protect yourself. A message from the American Lung Association in collaboration with Pfizer.
Furnished by the American Lung Association.
We tried Dynavite Nutritional Supplement, and after a couple of weeks, we noticed a big difference. Our little gizmo's coat was shinier, and there was a lot less scratching and shedding.
My dog smelled and scratched constantly. We bathed and sprayed her, took her to the vet, but no results. Now, a little Dynavite in her food helps Bella keep her beautiful coat with no scratching or smell.
Happier, healthier with every bite. Over a million pets helped with Dynavite.
Ah, yes. But it is kind of a big deal. And here's, you know, this, anti-colonialism. She's actually the British monarch that oversaw the 20th century dismantling of the British colonial empire. It was on her watch that all of that was undone. But if you're, you know, not much of a history buff, maybe just an angry, bloodthirsty moron like so many lefties are, you might lash out like this lunatic professor. She's a professor with the hate in her heart, and she's doing great. I heard the chief monarch of a thieving, raping, genocidal empire is finally dying. May her pain be excruciating. Almost absurdly, the Newsweek magazine headline on the story is, Carnegie Mellon refuses to condone Uju Anya over Queen's death remarks. Surely you mean that Carnegie Mellon refuses to condemn. Because when you say that they refuse to condone, you imply that they should condone her bloodthirsty, ghoulish, hate-filled remarks.
This is the Chris Plant Show.
KCNR invites you to join us the second Friday of the month starting at 8 a.m. for the Gorman Law Hour featuring local attorney Patrick Gorman, a legal expert when it comes to injured workers, compensation claims, and employee claims. So, if you have a legal question or just wonder whether or not you have a legal issue or problem, talk to Patrick Gorman, attorney at law, during the Gorman Law Hour starting at 8 a.m. the second Friday of the month on KCNR.
Convert your calling into a career at Shasta College this fall. Get a jump start on being transfer ready or boost your current career skills quickly and affordably with a certificate or degree. Our fall semester offers flexible class times and formats with online and more in-person offerings. Plan your tomorrow today by enrolling at Shasta College. Fall semester classes begin August 15th. Achieve more. Earn more. Shasta College. www.shastacollege.edu. Enroll online today.
If you trust the government, if you believe the misinformation they're telling you is fact, you won't like our show, Poke the Hornet's Nest.
Hi, I'm your host, Doug Janke, and along with co-host Nick Gardner, we'll expose the dark side of governmental deception and misinformation from our local level, statewide, and to the national and world views.
On second thought, maybe the government believers should listen to the view of two middle-class, well-informed, working Americans.
Be sure to tune in to Poke the Hornet's Nest every other Sunday right here on KCNR1460.com, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, 8 to 9 every other Sunday morning.
And remember, you don't have to believe the artificial intelligence these people with college degrees are telling you, because sometimes they're misleading you. Listen to the other side of the news.
Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage, and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Obtaining a California concealed weapons license will allow the licensed individual to transport a listed handgun in their vehicle or on their person in public. For application instructions, training, and other information, contact NFI at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
Premier, your friendly oil change. Premier in all we do.
Premier Oil Change has been locally owned and operated since we opened in 2006, enjoying long-term relationships with our team members and loyal guests. Many of our team members have worked with us for over 10 years. Many of our certified technicians have logged over 30,000 oil changes, working on hundreds of different vehicle makes and models. In an ever-changing world, we strive to keep up with change with our extensive training program. It's important to the staff at Premier Oil Change that our customers' cars are well taken care of by experienced, well-trained technicians, so you can depend on your vehicle to get you and your family to your destination. Don't forget that you can earn free oil changes with Premier Rewards. Learn more at PremierOilChange.com or visit us in Palo Cedro. Premier is in the Holiday Market Shopping Center or in Redding on Lake Boulevard next to Waterworks Park or our newest location in Anderson across from Roundtable. Remember, you get a free car wash with every oil change. Premier Oil Change, home of the friendly oil change.
Hi friends, RC here with Tobacco and Brew. This month's cigar of the humidor is La Única Dominican Primeros. Premium shade-grown Connecticut wrappers combined with a long filler blend of aged Cuban seed Dominican tobaccos, providing a smooth, mellow to medium-bodied experience. It's a rich and balanced selection with subtle hints of nuts, cream, and fruit. La Única Dominican Primeros. Tobacco and Brew, Redding, California.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
Remember when then-President Barack Obama visited with Queen Elizabeth II, he famously gave her an iPod, an Apple iPod, you remember this? With his speeches. With his speeches. Here, you can listen to my speeches late at night while you're going to sleep in Buckingham Palace. And I'm sure it'll be great. You might love the one about me slowing the rise of the oceans and healing the planet, because that's one of my favorites. The crowd went wild, but they had been drinking a lot. You know, it was Barack Obama gave the Queen an iPod, which contained his speeches. You could listen to his speeches. I can see the Queen driving in her Range Rover or Land Rover or whatever it was out at one of her many estates with elk wandering the land, with her earbuds in, listening to the best of Barack Obama. This is the moment when the rise of the oceans began to slow and the world, the earth, began to heal, because I am here. I am him with a capital H. There's a funny person named Tandy has a Twitter account who twittered this morning, "I wonder who the Queen bequeathed the iPod Obama gave her with all his speeches on it." You might say, "I wonder to whom the Queen bequeathed the iPod Obama gave her with all of his speeches on it." Later on, the Obama White House said, "Oh no, it had other stuff on it too, like pictures of her visit to the United States." I was like, "Really? iPods?" It said iPod, not an iPad. It's got pictures on it? Cause where do you see the pictures on your iPod? Now the Queen, by that time in her mid to late 80s, is going to plug in the iPod to her desktop to look at pictures. sign up. You know, store them on the cloud because, you know, the queen, she's all about the internet. All right, let's go to the telephones, Michael. There are other things going on as well. I didn't even intend to talk about it this much. But, you know, but she, you know, honestly, she's the queen of England. She turned out to be pretty cool. She was pretty cool. And she was queen for a long, long time. Long, long time. 70 years plus. And second half of the 20th century, teenage girl functioning in World War II, during World War II, in uniform, the uniform of her country. And, you know, she turned out to be pretty cool. Met every president, Harry Truman through Joe Biden, except for LBJ. One exception, the exception is LBJ. Every president of the United States from Harry Truman forward until Joe Biden, with the exception of LBJ, because he was such a racist that he wouldn't meet with her. Just kidding. That she wouldn't meet with him. That's not really why. But he was a racist. You know, Democrats are. All right, let's go to the telephones, Michael. Let's go to Bruce, who is ironically calling from King George, Virginia. That's King George III is the one that we overthrew in 1776. Kicked him right out. It was the beginning of the end of colonialism on Earth and the end of the European monarchies. It was a good day for humankind, July 4th, 1776. Hey, Bruce.
Hi, Chris. I wanted to tell you about a close encounter I had with the Queen. This was way back in 1959.
Uh-huh.
It was at the dedication and official opening of the St. Lawrence Seaway up in Messina, New York. I was a student at Clarkson University at the time, located in Potsdam, New York, so it was just about an 11-mile drive in the car up there to Messina. And we gathered there. The Queen was supposed to arrive aboard her yacht, the Britannia, but the Britannia got fogged in, and they had to send a motorcade down to get her, to bring her up to the place. And Vice President Richard Nixon was there.
Huh.
And so when they gathered at that place, you know, at the ceremony place, Vice President Nixon gave a brief talk, and then so did the Queen. She was very eloquent. And then it was a brief ceremony, and then they were supposed to go on to some other place. Then they came up and got aboard a limousine, a four-door convertible that was right in front of me, separated from me by just a waist-high chain-link fence. And the Queen sat on the right side of a back seat. Nixon was on the left, and I was within 8 feet of that lovely woman. People near me were commenting on what a beautiful lady she was, and so I held up my camera and I said, "Your Majesty, may I take a picture of you?" Boy, was I nervous. She smiled at me and as I took the picture, and at that point the limo drove off, and that was it. But I was within 8 feet of her, and it left a lasting impression on me, so I just thought you'd like to know.
That's a fun story. And the opening of the official opening of the St. Lawrence Seaway, another great human accomplishment. And, you know, it reminds me that I was in Santa Barbara, California in 1983 when Queen Elizabeth went to Santa Barbara to visit with then President Ronald Reagan. And it's kind of funny because she was supposed to helicopter to the ranch, if I remember this correctly, but there was a storm. And so she had to motorcade, just like your situation in 1959 at the St. Lawrence Seaway. This must have happened to her a lot, I guess, because it was a stormy, stormy day, which is quite unusual in Santa Barbara. And if I remember this correctly, and I believe that I do, she was supposed to helicopter, one of the president's helicopters, up to President Reagan's ranch, Rancho Del Cielo, 688 acres at 3333 Refugio Canyon Road. And Queen Elizabeth, there were torrential rains and rough seas. I remember there were big boats, like fishing boats, thrown out of the ocean up onto Cabrillo Boulevard, which is the road that runs along the ocean in Santa Barbara. And it was one of the biggest storms they had seen in forever. But the queen, who was, she was up for it. She put on rain boots and a raincoat and said, you know, let's hop in the four-wheel drive vehicles, motorcade, up to President Reagan's ranch. And Reagan, you know, and they went horseback riding, the president. There's an old joke. There's an old joke from that era that, and you can find the pictures of President Reagan riding horseback with Queen Elizabeth. And they're riding along. And the joke is that Ronald Reagan is, some people claim it's a real story. I'm not sure whether it is or not. Ronald Reagan and Queen Elizabeth riding along. And Queen Elizabeth's horse had a sudden episode of severe flatulence. So the horse, you know, flatulates all over the place. Queen Elizabeth, well, they're walking, and it's like, brah, brah, brah. Bruh, bruh. And Queen Elizabeth said to Ronald Reagan, she sort of chuckled and said, quite embarrassing. And Ronald Reagan said, that's all right, Your Majesty. I thought it was the horse. See, that's right, Your Majesty. I thought it was the horse. That's because the horse was engaging in a lot of flatulence on the horse, you see. That's all right, Your Majesty. I thought it was the horse. That's not bad. That's pretty good stuff. All right, let's go to where are we going? Thank you, Bruce. That was a fun call. Let's go to Chris calling from Florida. Chris, you're on the Chris Plant Show.
Good morning, Mr. O'Plant. How are you today, sir?
Just great. Just great. What do you say, huh?
Well, I wanted for once. I love coming on and trying to be funny, but this isn't it. One of the things I've told you before is that my father was in the Royal Navy in World War II and did convoy duty in the North Atlantic. And so he was born in Nottingham. And long story short, at 5 years old, he took me to see the coronation. Now, I wish I'd had pictures. I wasn't more than, you know, a couple feet tall, but I just wanted to say, my dad took me over. He wanted me to see the beauty and the pageant associated with that, situation. So we had a great time and just one of those unusual things, but I wanted to note it for you.
1953.
Yes, sir.
That's fun. And your father was in the Royal Navy, but that's explained by the fact that he was British.
Yes, sir. I'm trying to hold back.
It was an English fella, English from England.
English fella. Yeah. And he'd been all over the world and sailed on convoy duty, as I said, to Boston. Met my mother at the officers club. I think I may have mentioned that to you. We didn't discuss that after that, my mother and I. But the fact is, they had me and... I lived in Milwaukee, across the street from some people you know, I think.
Right.
And so I just wanted to call and note the moment because it was as a kid, even though you don't really understand it all, it's just stuck in my head forever, as well as should be the beauty and the pageant associated with that lady. She was amazing.
Pomp, circumstance, and pageantry defined, no doubt about it. And your father was in the Royal Navy.
Yes,
now,
sir.
Here's a, you know, Canada, as you know, is a Commonwealth country. That's what they call it.
Yes,
kind of
sir.
Under the crown and all of that stuff. And my father, who was a Navy fighter pilot in World War II, was actually in the Royal Canadian Air Force before he was in the United States Navy. And the reason for that is my father and his buddies living in New York, the war was on, but it was before Pearl Harbor, right? 1940, 1941. And a lot of Americans, including my father and some of his friends, went up to Canada and joined the military in Canada in order to get into the war. So they could get into the war. And when he went up to Canada, he enlisted and he enlisted in the Royal Canadian Air Force, the RCAF. And they taught him to fly airplanes there. And then, and there's this crazy thing, when Pearl Harbor happened, when the dastardly Japanese attack on Hawaii happened, a whole lot of Americans were already up in Canada that had joined the Canadian military because Commonwealth country already in the war, fighting against the Nazis and all that stuff. My father wanted to go fight against the Nazis, so he joined the Royal Canadian Air Force. Now, Canada did what you'd expect Canada to do. Canada said to the Americans that were serving in the Canadian military, said, well, if you, now that you've been attacked and you're in the war, and the FDR speech yesterday, December 7th, 1941, all that stuff, the Canadians said, well, if you want to go back to America and join the military there, then you can do that. And if you want to stay here, then you can stay here and fight in our military, eh? Eh? That's what they said. And my father said, well, I'm an American, so I'm going to go back to the United States of America to fight for my country. Thank you very much. And he came back to the United States and said, you know, do you have any skills? And they said, well, the Canadians taught me how to fly a little airplane. So they said, aha, how'd you like to fly him off of ships? And they put him in the Navy as a fighter pilot, sent him to Pensacola and all that stuff. But yeah, that's kind of a fun story. And the reason it's kind of a fun story in the big picture is because a whole lot of Americans went up to Canada to join the Canadian military in order to get into the war before we were in it. And then it goes with a companion story. I was having dinner with a man who was at the time the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff of the United States military, General Hugh Shelton. And nice guy. And we were talking. He had had dinner shortly before our dinner together with the Canadian military chief of staff, the equivalent of the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff in Canada. And the Canadian military officer told our chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff that during the Vietnam War, there were a number of Americans, of course, that Democrats, you know, that fled to Canada to avoid the draft, to get out of the draft, dodge the draft, right? Went to Canada to dodge the draft. And the Canadian general said, did you know that a greater number of Canadians left Canada, came to the United States and joined the U.S. military in order to go to fight the communists in Vietnam than there, a greater number of Canadians left Canada, joined the U.S. military than there were Americans that fled the United States and went to Canada to evade the draft. That's pretty good Canada story, isn't it? That's good stuff. Also, I have in my pocket right now, I just whipped it out because I forgot about it. I have Canadian 5 loonie bill. What do they call their money? A lot of them take American money because our money's better than theirs. But, you know, we were just there a little more than a week ago, my best girl and I. Canada, and it's a fiver. It's a fiver. It doesn't have the queen on it, though. It's got some guy. He looks a little sketchy. This Canadian $5 thing. But on the back, they've got a bunch of people doing a spacewalk. Like you guys, you know, going to space if we don't give you a ride. Come on. Well, you got a spacewalk on your thing. What, we let you come along and do a spacewalk once? You're welcome.
You're listening to The Chris Plant Show.
Cashback is not available on gas in New Jersey and Wisconsin.
Susan, I'm sorry I'm late. Traffic is terrible.
It sure is. But on top of that, gas prices have been skyrocketing. I can't believe how expensive gas has gotten recently.
Prices at the pump are up, but I never pay full price for gas anymore. I just use the free Upside app that pays you cash back for every gallon of gas you buy.
Wait a minute. Are you saying you actually get paid cash when you buy gas with the Upside app?
Yes, I get real cash back every time I buy gas.
And does that actually add up to anything?
I've made around $200.
Wow, that's serious extra cash. I'm downloading the free Upside app now.
Download the free Upside app to earn real cash back every time you buy gas. Use promo code LUCK for an extra 25 cents per gallon cash back on your first fill up. You can cash out anytime right to your bank account, to PayPal, or any gift card for Amazon and other brands. Just download the free Upside app and use promo code LUCK for a 25 cents per gallon bonus on your first tank. That's code LUCK for 25 cents per gallon cash back on your first fill up.
Dell Technologies semi-annual sale has arrived, and it's time to upgrade to the latest business technology. Save big on laptops and desktops with Windows 11 Pro. Plus, get amazing deals on server, storage, and cloud solutions, as well as top work accessories, including docks, monitors, and more. Dell Technologies recommends Windows 11 Pro for business. Call a Dell Technologies advisor at 877-ASK-DELL. That's 877-ASK-DELL for special business offers during our semi-annual sale.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Are you over 50? Would you like to get up to 33% more income in retirement? Then call now for this free book, Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers, from a leading financial firm on maximizing your income in retirement. That's right, free. This free book reveals little-known truths about annuities in simple-to-understand terms that will help you make the right choices before buying an annuity. And it's free. As a bonus, we'll also throw in a free annuity rate report summarizing the rates and benefits from financially strong insurers.
Call 800-715-9880.
That's right. Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers and Annuity Rate Report. Both absolutely free for calling today.
Call 800-715-9880. That's 800-715-9880.
Sponsored by Annuity General. Producers have the appropriate licenses for the products they offer. Increased income is possible using strategies suited to your goals and may require buying multiple annuities and holding them full term.
Now that the school year is underway, do you know how your child is doing in math? At Mathnasium, each student is provided with a customized learning plan based on an individual assessment. They'll get the live face-to-face instruction they need, either in-center or online, to accelerate their math skills and take on the rest of the school year with confidence. Join over a million parents who have trusted Mathnasium to give their children an edge in math. To learn more and to schedule a free consultation, visit us at Mathnasium.com. Mathnasium, we're changing lives through math.
How long does it take to tackle a home project? With Angie, you could cross it off your list before this ad is over. Just tell us what you need. Indoor, outdoor, repair, or redesign. And we handle the rest, sending a top pro to get it done. You don't have to lift a finger, except to tap the screen or click the mouse. Plus, Angie is free to use. So bring us your next home project, and we'll bring it home. Download the app or go to Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com to get started.
Stacking Benjamins with Joe and his good friend OG not only has great financial insight, it's laid back with humor too.
Savings competition winner Katie Pruitt.
I was very confused by budgets, and what I realized, I was trying to make a lasagna and start with the noodles on the bottom, and I was ending up with crusty noodles. So once I started with the sauce of what I was spending, for some reason then it clicked. We were able to use the budget as a tool.
Stacking Benjamins. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
If you're 19 or older with certain underlying medical conditions such as asthma or diabetes, you can get vaccinated against pneumococcal pneumonia, a potentially serious bacterial lung disease that can disrupt your life for weeks. If you're 65 or older, it is also recommended you get vaccinated against pneumococcal pneumonia. No matter the season, talk to your doctor about vaccination today and learn more at lung.org/protect yourself. A message from the American Lung Association in collaboration with Pfizer.
Furnished by the American Lung Association.
Of all that Navy stuff, we're my best girl and I, our plan at least, we're going to Annapolis tomorrow for the Navy football game at the U.S. Naval Academy versus Memphis. Walking in Memphis, which is a dangerous thing to do, but yeah, we're headed up to Annapolis for the. The U.S. Naval Academy football game, Navy v. Memphis. And friend Larry, whose daughter, Larry O'Connor, whose daughter is at the Naval Academy, is a midshipman. And tomorrow, the Memphis Tigers. Annapolis, Maryland. And it's kind of wacky because yesterday we went to Annapolis, too. It's only, you know, on a good day, it's 45 minutes away, Annapolis from Washington, D.C. Yesterday it was about an hour and 20 minutes away because everything's under construction here. That's the thing about that. And because somebody put like trillions of dollars, just threw it out in the street. So they have these never-ending road projects that take years and years. Massachusetts Avenue on, you know, Embassy Row. We went by yesterday. We went by the British Embassy. And the media were already out front, rows and rows of TV cameras and things. I think Joe Biden was about to, he was headed up there to go sign the condolences book. I wonder what he wrote. Doubtless something incoherent, because it's him. But going by, yeah, the media were all out in front of the thing. And then we drove to my best girl's sister texted us yesterday and said, oh, yeah, by the way, I'm at the airport. I'm on a plane on my way up to BWI Airport, Marshall Airport. And why don't you come to Annapolis and have lunch with us? Like, well, okay. So so we did. We drove up to Annapolis and went to actually just outside of Annapolis, because it's Parents Week in Annapolis. Real crowded, hard to get into restaurants and stuff. But we went to a great place called The Point, a restaurant on the water, and had a grand old time. They have crabs and things. I didn't get the crabs. They have burgers too. I bet I didn't get the burger. I got the fish and chips, and we got clams. We got clams too. Clams and fish and chips, and what else did we get? Stuff. Hard boiled eggs. Good stuff. Sat on the water. I had a couple of ice cold bottles of Bud Light too. Ran into a nice listener too at The Point yesterday. Very nice day. Annapolis day yesterday on the water.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.